It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 12th day of November 2019. This is The Horn, headon.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. You're welcome to pop on by, pick out a screen name and a password if you don't already have one, jump right in and be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap conversation that takes place when this program is live. Why does that happen? Oh, well, whatever. 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and, of course, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hi, I'm Bob, and, well, every program here begins with gratitude, so thanks go out. Thanks go out to our subscribers for the 12th day of the month. That's Mark and Gary, our buddy Gary in New York, and thanks as well to Suman. And thank you to Paul. Taken together, they are the subscriber crew for the 12th day of the month. Thank you, one and all. As far as fundraising goes, we've got $1,010 to do in 2 days, or else we'll be in a big old hole come Monday. Remember, no broadcasts for Thursday and Friday of this week. I have to be away from the mic. So we'll knock as much out, hopefully, as we possibly can, 1,010, and see where that goes. Let's see. I really don't know, Steve. Steve says there was an advertisement when I clicked the link at headon.live before the stream started. Is this new? It must be. Brother Deacon Asa and I have had a conversation about, you know, letting some sort of ads rotate through, so that we can get a few or three millipennies to at least defray the cost of the website and all the streaming and everything. So maybe that is. Speaking of Brother Deacon Asa, he does let me know hot on both streams on the deck of the USS Trump Tannic, flank speed ahead towards that iceberg lettuce. Iceberg. Lettuce, indeed. Ah, yes, and of course we are live at 6 a.m. Indochina time zone. Thanks to Terry in Saigon for letting us know. Terry wandered into the chat room this evening. If you wander in, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Anatole and Jersey and Squeaky and Terry and more who may wander by, as the case may be, as the program continues through the next 3 hours. Ah, okay, the answer from Brother Deacon Asa is no. What Steve heard is strictly tune in inserting ads. Remember, any of these for-profit streaming services, if you're using them, we don't get anything out of it, and they advertise on our backs. So that, I guess that's how they managed to make it free for people. I don't know, but yeah. Yes. So of course, if you wander into the chat room, you will be moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has indeed folded space on what is apparently a lovely 78-degree day in Northern California to become Man Cave. Not so lovely here today. and less so tonight. Mark the calendar. November 12th, 2019 is the first day of propane in the studio for the coming cold weather season. I've got thanks to a very kind gift from our buddy Tom in the Bay Area a couple of years back. I've got a bottle of propane running right now. And, hey, we've gotten the thanks to Agnes's determined efforts. She's partitioned off the studio with a big comforter hanging over the doorway. And the temperature here in the studio is all the way up to, wait for it, yes, 54 degrees. It's a little brisk in here, to say the least. Well, thank you, Randy and PA, letting me know that FYI Nation is silent at the moment. I'm sure that's not making Thomas very happy. So okay, well, maybe he'll get it fixed. I don't know. Glenn, up in New York, snow! We got 10 inches last night up around Rottenchester. Hey, we woke up to a dusting, probably not much more than an inch or so. You could still see the last remaining hints of green in the grass poking through the white. Oh, but it's going to be hateful tonight. This is going to be one of those nights like not having walls. We're expecting 13 degrees Fahrenheit this evening. Our bedroom is probably the coldest room in the house. Bad. Just cold. Very cold. So we'll probably, in addition to the electric heater in there, we'll probably have a little propane going there as well. Ew. Yuck. But that's okay, because the conversation will be warm and toasty and fine and fantastic here as we work our way through this Trump-tanic Tuesday. And by way of picking up where we left off, I wanted to share some information with you. You know, we talked about the necessity of my attempting to get health insurance. Well, it remains a necessity. Well, at least we're not them up in the far frozen north of far Canada. Steve tells us my partner said they're expecting 4 to 5 inches in Ottawa. Ouch. And I guess that'll take in, somewhere our buddy Ron in the far frozen north is, well, being frozen. Ron learned something new about his Apple Watch Generation 4. He took a bit of a tumble and found out that his Apple Watch Generation 4 and above will call 911 and tell them that you've fallen and you can't get up if you don't tell it not to. So hope you're not too stoved up, Ron. That's true. Randy and PA noting, I heard on last night's news that a West Virginia house exploded and two were killed. Yeah, they had a propane leak, and boom. Sad, just sad. And of course, well, at least no pipelines have blown up so far. Emphasis on the so far part. Now, what I was saying is I touched upon this briefly in the third hour of the program last night with Scott. And that is that over the course of the last weekend, I did my due diligence, and investigated the healthcare market through the Affordable Care Act, healthcare.gov, marketplace site. What's that, Eileen? I just got a tweet from Eileen saying that Adam Schiff just laid out bribery as the focus of the inquiry tomorrow, as specified in the Constitution. Look at us, way out there in front of the curve. Yeah. Interesting how that happens. Well, I'm glad that they're using the constitutional language. It's important. Thanks for letting me know, Eileen. So anyway, we're in open enrollment. November 1st through December 15th is open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. And I have to say, they do not make it easy to do one's due diligence. But I'm not putting this forward as some sort of plea. It isn't. And I'm not putting this forward as some sort of self-pity. The point is, millions of Americans are impacted by this. But because you're joke toads and you're Joe Scarboroughs and you're Mika Brzezinskis and you're George Snuffleupagus and Margaret Brennan's and all the various multimillionaires of the for-profit media never have to worry about this. This stuff doesn't touch them. In some instances, they've got good union health care, such as it is. In other instances, they can just write the check and never feel the loss. There's just not a hell of a lot of straightforward first-person reporting. I know. Brother Deacon Asa says, "Oh, I can already see the hate mail coming in. Quit taxing the Horn community for your personal health care luxuries, Bob." Oh, I know. I remember it well. But so it told me that, okay, you can have a subsidy. And here's what you'll pay after the subsidy. Let's start with the most bare bones plan available to me here in almost level West by Coal Trump Geniustan. Randy says, if at all possible, try for a PPO instead of an HMO. HMOs have networks and can deny you procedures. Thanks for that heads up. Well, let's see here. Let's start with one of the bronze plans. And as we go through these, it's more than just the nickels and dimes and dollars and cents. It's also about what is available to us. And it's about what all of this means for the billionaires who run the for-profit, profit-driven health insurance industry. Because they're apparently making a killing. Let's start with a bronze plan in the state of West Virginia, the premium for which would be $333.90 per month. Gosh, that sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah, it does, until you start looking at the details. Like the fact that it has a $7,700 deductible. That the out-of-pocket maximum is $8,150. And the estimated total yearly costs are $6,593. Assuming you take something like this, if you go to the emergency room, you're still on the hook for 50% coinsurance after the deductible. There's no coverage for dental, and it does not their particular plan does not include the healthcare facility where we do all our doctoring. Your generic prescription cost is going to be $40 a pop, and a visit to your primary care physician is $60 a pop. And of course, they don't cover shit until you have cranked out $7,700 out of your own pocket, which, for anyone paying attention, means it's not even really insurance. We can go up another $40 with the same outfit, still have a $7,700 deductible, the same 50% co-insurance for emergency room visits, the same $40 generic prescriptions, the same $60 primary care physician, and $120 for a specialist. But hey, you get dental of some sort. Kinda. Then we move up into, and we're still in, we've moved out of bronze and we're into silver. And the premium becomes $432.15 with a $1,200 deductible. $2,200 out of pocket max, and an annual at $6,839. Oops! Again, the healthcare facility we use, where I've been doctoring for years, isn't covered. Generic drugs are $15, a primary doctor's $15, and a specialist is $40, and you've got a $300 copay after the $1,200 deductible. So again, until you've cranked out $1,200 out of your pocket, you don't have any coverage. For $471.60, again, my healthcare facility, not part of it, a $5,300 deductible. Your primary care doctor is 50% co-insurance after the deductible. Your generic drugs are 50% co-insurance after deductible. And your emergency room care is 50% co-insurance after the deductible. And your specialists are 50% co-insurance after deductible. Do you sense a developing theme here? I mean, this, and that's $471.60 per month. And with all of these, again, the hospital and clinic where we treat isn't included. So that would be, for all intents and purposes, if we stayed with our doctors who know us, we'd still be uninsured, or self-insured, I guess is the proper term. $1,200 deductible for $477 a month. Once again, $300 copay after deductible for an ER visit. And we're still in silver. $486.99, $1,000 deductible, similar. Still, no inclusion of our medical center. $535.10, no inclusion. $535.43, no inclusion. $900 deductible though. This one just jumped off the page at me. We've finally moved into a plan that includes our health care facility. Yay. A premium of $539.76 for a bronze plan through the local Blue Cross. The deductible is $7,900. with an estimated total yearly cost of $9,330. ER care, generic drugs, primary doctor, and specialist doctor are all, hey, no charge after deductible. But you got to crank out that $7,900 first. And you're paying nearly $540 a month for absolutely nothing. But it's bronze. Well, there's another silver, but my facility's not included. Oh, here's a Blue Cross that includes my facility. $3,900 deductible. Basically $600 a month. If you have to go to the emergency room, let's say you've met your $3,900 deductible, citizen. You've met your $3,900 deductible, and you have to go to the emergency room. Well, now that you've met your deductible for this plan that's $600 a month, that emergency room visit is going to cost you 40% of the bill. 40% coinsurance after deductible. And the same thing with your generic drugs, 40% coinsurance after deductible. Primary care doctor, $60. Specialist doctor, 40% coinsurance after deductible. But groovy, it includes my healthcare facility. Here's another $604 a month with a $7,800 deductible. After you meet it, you're still on the hook for a 40% coinsurance after the deductible for an emergency room. 40% coinsurance after deductible for your primary physician. 40% coinsurance after deductible for your specialist. And no dental. All right. Well, let's see what you get for a silver with this Blue Cross outfit. Oh, look. It's only got a $500 deductible. That sounds reasonable. Ah, but after you meet the deductible, you're on the hook for $300 for an emergency room visit. You got a $15 copay after deductible for your primary care physician and a $30 copay for a specialist. No dental. Okay. Now these are, we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg. Well, there's that outfit that doesn't cover my hospital, so they're $883 premium. Eh, so what? With a $2,000 deductible. $885 includes my healthcare facility. $700 deductible. And I don't think this is. Yeah, $300 copay after deductible. $20 for primary care, $40 for specialists, no dental. And we're still in silver. Oh, wait, here we are. We're in gold. Gold, baby. Gold. That ought to really be worth something. $800 deductible. $6,000 out-of-pocket maximum. Now, this is gold, right? This is as good as it gets in West Virginia. Total yearly cost, $15,917. $250 copay coinsurance for emergency rooms. No charge for generic drugs. $20 for a primary care physician and $45 for a specialist. I mean, it's $1,300 a month. But hey, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? Let's drill down into the details on that, shall we? Emergency room care, in-network, $300. Out-of-network, $300. Here's the... Now, remember, gold coverage. So you need surgical services. Say you need your gallbladder out. Or stents, or... I don't know. An appendectomy. Well, with this gold coverage, this profit-driven gold coverage, after you've met your deductible, and once you've had your surgery, well, citizen, inside the network, you're still going to be on the hook for 40% of the surgical costs. The doctor, the anesthesiologist, whoever the valet is who parks the doctor's car, the doctor's dog walker, the nurse's esthetician, whatever kind of bill they can generate for your care, this gold coverage is only going to pay 60% of it. And you, and let's say it's something that you don't just get over in a week, couple of weeks, like a gallbladder, let's say it's maybe, you know, under the worst of circumstances, you know, maybe it's a bypass. Well, you're gonna be laid up for a little while, but the whole time you're laid up, because this is for-profit insurance, that CEO is going to be sitting there drumming his fingers, waiting for you to get off your dead ass and get back to supporting his lifestyle. It'll sound a little like this as he drums his manicured fingers upon his desk, waiting for you, Prol, to get busy and get back to working for him. Yeah. Oh, and now that last part, the 40% co-insurance, those are for inpatient doctor and surgical services. Right? Well, let's say it is something like a bypass, and you have to stay a few days. Well, on top of the doctor's bills and the surgical services, that means you've got a hospital to stay to contend with. And under this $1,300 a month gold coverage, you're on the hook for $1,500 a day in network for every day you're in the hospital. At what point, how, with any sort of, well, there's not much in the way of truth in advertising laws out there, but how can they, where do they get the nerve, the gall, the brass to call this insurance? $1,300 a month, and you're still on the hook for 40% of your surgical costs, and $1,500 a day if you're in network. If you're out of network, fuck you, buddy. Now, how is it that a system that includes coverage like that, how can that be deemed to be better than Medicare for All? Because all that co-insurance or $300 after the deductible, that doesn't exist in Medicare for All. You're sick, you need help, you go to the doctor, you get treated, you focus on healing, and you go home, you get well, and you get back to work. That's Medicare for all. And the doctors aren't standing outside in the freezing wastes on the snow-covered sidewalks with their little faces pressed up against the frosty window panes, watching the proles eat all those Alaskan king crab legs inside. No, it's the docs eating the Alaskan king crab legs that they've driven to the restaurant in their goddamn Lamborghini to get. And this is, you know, this is the breathtaking part of it all. This is what the Republicans are so absolutely beside themselves to destroy. That right there, $1,300 a month, is what the Republicans had the unmitigated gall to call socialism. I mean, well, you know, what we're doing, Bob, is we're trying to incentivize our insureds to live healthier so that they won't need the insurance and they'll just pay for it instead of using it. Oh, okay. Oh, and by the way, we're loving our 13th vacation home, the one we just got out on Martha's Vineyard. I'm so glad. So, you know, as Ron in Raleigh notes, wow, why wouldn't anyone love their for-profit insurance? Those prices are such a bargain. No wonder people are falling all over themselves to get one of those policies. Give the insurance companies your money, and they give you a hearty handshake and a thank you. This is what Uncle Joe and Mayor Pete want you to have. It's also what Miss Nancy wants you to have. Well, again, this displays the disconnect between people who never have to even think about this stuff and those of us who do. So, you know, when I was going over all this over the weekend, I came away from it worse off than I went in. As Steve in New York points out, here's the real kicker. Most of the time, the information on the exchange websites regarding whether a given doctor takes the insurance is often wrong. You have to call the carrier anyway. Now, the hospital and healthcare facility that we use is owned by WVU. You know, my alma mater, Harvard on the Mon. And they own a bunch of hospitals all over the state, and yet they're not in these networks? Steve adds, oh, dear, dear Bob, it's ensuring the CEOs get to buy another house, not ensuring you get to go to the doctor. That's pretty much, yeah. David in South Carolina, Stan, with, again, a real-world account. My beloved late wife is dead due to Nimrata Haley's refusal to expand Medicaid. Now Haley's being given generous amounts of free time on TV as if she's Ms. Wonderful. I also find it insulting that Nimrata ran as a person of color in South Carolina as if she grew up as a black girl running barefoot in cotton fields of lower Orangeburg County, living in a sharecropper's shack, walking 5 miles down a red clay country road to attend a one-room schoolhouse where she had to read by candlelight, and the school restroom was a tar paper outhouse. Yet she continues to get blessings of the mainstream media, even from some Democrats. She's very close to being a Tulsi double. She's there to draw votes from the same demographic that will also take Democratic votes and deliver electoral votes to Donald Trump. Yeah, Randy pointing out, you've got to consider a heart attack full treatment, I think, but don't, well, I'm not quoting you. It can run upwards of $70,000, maybe even more. And so, while you're sitting there trying not to die, you can't help but think about the fact that whatever the bill is, you're on with your gold coverage are on the hook for 40% of it. Yeah, $28,000 and $1,500 a day for the hospital room. As Randy points out, I guess you die quickly. Whatever happened to that Congress critter anyway? I guess they found dirt on him. Well, he didn't help his cause any at all. But yeah, that is still the Republican plan: die quickly. Well, that helps. Ralphs points out, when I switched from cigarettes to e-cigarettes, my insurance went from about $1,500 a month to a little over $1,000 a month. Hugs. Hugs back. Thank you, Ralphs. And hopefully we'll get to that point, too. But still, how can anybody out there, because this is not, I mean, it's not like I'm medically unique. And to anyone who pays a hell of a lot more per month than I do, or I would, it probably sounds like, yeah, well, lucky you to me. But when you're talking about $1,300 a month, you're talking about might as well be $13,000. But as I went through all this data, I was just flabbergasted at the idea that there are people out there who look at this crap and go, oh, no, I'd much rather have that than no deductibles, no co-pays, and no hassles and no misery, you know, outside the misery induced by the physical illness. Well, you're right, Jim. Jim says they will fight Medicare for all, hammer and tongs, tooth and nail. It is what it is. And that's why it's on us. Force them to it. We pushed them into impeachment. Maybe we can do this too. Ron in Raleigh says, let's add some perspective. Citing insurance company costs is bad enough. Let's add some numbers. In 2017, the median income in West Virginia was $44,061. The per capita income was a whopping $24,774. Put these figures alongside the cost of the plans, and you get a better picture of how for-profit insurance is bullshit. Oh, it's not just bullshit, Ron. It's hateful. And, you know, that's not, this isn't on the hospitals. This isn't on the doctors. This is just an insurance industry that, to use the term from The Godfather, wants to wet its beak. It's just dipping a toe into the stream of cash as it flows by them and dipping out some, a lot, for their own well-being. Remember, a health insurance company doesn't make anybody get better. A health insurance company doesn't help anybody get well. A health insurance company has never to this day performed a laparoscopy, birthed a baby, removed a tumor, infused chemo, taken out a gallbladder. No, insurance companies just sit there. Health insurance companies just sit there and swallow money. Because it's a profit-driven intermediary between people who need health care and people who deliver health care. This is infuriating. And again, if I'm, and I'm, this isn't bragging, but I'm reasonably well educated. I'm a competent practitioner of the art of word knowing. And if looking at this stuff makes my head spin, makes the letters swim on the page in front of my eyes, what does it do to somebody with a lot less basic ability to comprehend the situation? Darlene, who has considerable experience in this, says, shit, $1,300 a month for a gold plan in West Virginia? That exceeds my worst case scenario 2020 premium, my current all for ripping me off health insurance underwriter in Connecticut. I won't say the health insurance company's name, but its initials are Anthem. Oh, they're not even here in West Virginia, Darlene. We got CareSource and Blue Cross, and that's it. Darlene continues and says, I'm literally sick to my stomach right now. I dread this time of year for this very reason, and my Connecticut General Assembly critters are not going to meet and discuss ways to lower health insurance premiums and costs in Connecticut until February 2020, after I've already fucking committed to a new health insurance plan. Totally rigged. Fuck all of them. This is not sustainable. It's not supposed to be. It's just supposed to enrich insurance company executives until they can come up with a better way to rob us blind. What the word bronze brought to mind, Flavio writes, couler un bronze, couler un bronze, literally to cast a bronze, is French slang for take a dump. That's what bronze brought to mind. Couler un bronze. Well, we know who's taking it, and we know who's getting it taken on them. The insurance companies, Flavio notes, are shitting on us. And we're supposed to laugh and find it terribly, terribly humorous. Ralphs advises, see if you can see an insurance broker. I got my health insurance through an insurance agency in Milwaukee, to my knowledge. The insurance companies pay them, so maybe see what they say. Yeah, I may wind up doing that, but I'm short on time. I got between now and the 15th. After that, I am UCTFE. Jim pointing out, hateful, hurtful, and destructive, Bob. Also, the drug problem here is directly proportional to insurance company malpractice and greed. Well, that it is. And I don't know how either one gets fixed. I mean, one of the reasons they say that we have so few choices in West Virginia is because we're such a small state, and relatively speaking, there are so few people who can actually afford to even think about buying that craptastic insurance. And I don't know what to do in this situation. I mean, I guess I could pick one of the shitty little plans and then just keep going to my regular doctor and paying, you know, my regular $125 office visit. But the problem is, if I need him to, refer me to a specialist, they're out of network. So I'm screwed. Or I can go to some doctor that I wouldn't know from Adam's house cat and start all over again at a different facility. And the different facility is one that we have previous experience with, and I would not take a run over rabid skunk too. James in Illinois, the subject line, health care versus insurance. Paying for Medicare for all is knowing you will need to see a doctor. Paying for insurance is a bet that you won't. Deductibles and copays on the discount insurance model is designed to work alongside your minimum wage job. You can't afford the copay, so you put it off. Still, they managed to budget a $30 million salary for a CEO and money for investors to boot. Joe knows this. So do the socialists. You choose. By the way, Donnie doesn't care. He's going to lie anyway. Well, that much is as certain as the rising and setting of the sun. Steve says, here's a huge problem. We continue to use the terms providing coverage or providing health coverage or providing health insurance or providing insurance. We need to change the terms to health care or providing health care or paying for health care. Right. I agree, Steve, but in this particular instance, it's not about any of those things. It is simply about having coverage. Whether that coverage covers anything, well, that's a separate discussion. You forgot to add, says Ron in Raleigh, you didn't mention that all plans are subject to change each year, so you can't plan for your expenses because you don't know from year to year what your expenses will be. It's a moving target, so your mind gets boggled by the numbers each and every year. Insurance for health care is inherently evil. Yeah, because it's premised on the idea of making a profit off of people being sick, and that encourages insurance companies, being insurance companies, to bust their ass not to pay. Because they make money when they take money in but don't pay it out. It is a rigged game to the same extent that walking into a casino where all the dice are loaded, all the cards are marked, and the roulette wheels all have breaks on them, and you're never going to win, is a rigged game. Keith points out, if you want health care, it costs more in more ways than can be counted. We thought my wife had a second stroke. They flew her to Houston at St. Luke's. The flight alone was $65,000. 45-minute flight cost us as much as our house. Insurance didn't cover because we didn't have pre-authorization. $10 a month into my third life. This system really sucks for everyday folks. David, talking about the circumstances under which his wife passed away. My wife was working full-time with health insurance but could not afford checkups due to deductibles and copays. Monthly premiums reduced her take-home pay so much that she couldn't afford doctor visits. Medicaid in South Carolina is determined by gross pay, so she made too much to qualify for Medicaid, although her take-home pay ended up being $400 for a family of four. This was while I was out of work and going through my own South Carolina nightmare where they delay, delay, delay and hope you die. My wife did. And Haley's dad was a doctor, a PhD, but a doctor nonetheless. So, God, I don't know how you go through life, David, not just wanting to strangle politicians and health insurance executives every day of your life. And I'm not suggesting violence. I'm just saying I don't know how you get past that. Because it was probably preventable. And I think that's what David's getting at. Reverend Barber put out a tweet. Nikki Haley can't criticize Tillerson or Kelly. She got out and left the country to the wiles of Trump. Haley's no moderate. She supported voter suppression and refused Medicaid expansion and living wages for a poor state like South Carolina. Period. All stop. It's all true. So we know what the Republican response to the pleas and the cries for health care from we the people are going to be. The Republican response is, fuck you. Can't afford it, don't deserve it. Because that's just good old-fashioned garden variety Calvinism. If God wanted you to have health care, by God, you would have health care. He doesn't, so you don't. So, fuck you. I mean, that's how the Republican response works. We know who they are, and they are who they are. It's like Dennis Green all those years ago. They were who we thought they were. The question then becomes one for the Democrats. And I'll leave Elizabeth Warren out of this one, and I'll leave Bernie Sanders out of this one, because they're getting the answer right. But for Uncle Joe, and for Pete Buttigieg, and for Kamala Harris, and anyone else who is not squarely behind Medicare for All, I want answers to questions. And the sad part is that billionaires, or whatever he is, like Anderson Cooper, who just got done inheriting everything his mother had when she died, and she was a Vanderbilt. And multimillionaires like Mrs. Greenspan, and virtually anybody on the electric TV box who would be in a position to ask these kinds of questions, somehow find it impossible to ask them the right way. And I don't know why that is, unless it is that they are made immune to asking the questions the right way by their own wealth privilege. You know, here in 8 days, we've got another Democratic pageant coming up. And the questioners are, and there's been some ballyhoo about this, the inquisitors are all going to be women. One of them will be Rachel Maddow. Maybe Rachel will ask the question the right way. Isn't it interesting that we keep coming back to this idea of how we talk about things? Lo and behold, as Eileen pointed out, Adam Schiff is saying, by God, we're going to be talking about bribery when the public hearings open tomorrow. Good. Good, good, good. But I add a caveat to that, if we're talking about bribery as in some citation from the U.S. Code, that's going to be a loser. We have to talk about it as the people who wrote the Constitution and conceived of the concept of impeachment talked about it. To the same extent, the multimillionaires of the for-profit media have to stop offering up these bullshit nostrums that somewhere out there are these unicorn Americans, half unicorn, half leprechaun, half hobbit, half hillbilly, imaginary creatures. Who just get up every morning and the sun is always shining and the birds are singing in the trees all because they love their for-profit health insurance so, so very much. That is execrable bullshit. Who loves having a 40% copay for doctor and surgical services and a $1,500 copay for a hospital room for every day of the stay? Who loves that? What, I mean, are those people, are they even allowed outside? Do they get to wear shoes that have laces? Do they have to wear helmets and gloves and things like that just to keep from hurting themselves because they're so fucking stupid? Look, if you're, you know, if you're Tom Steyer or Michael Bloomberg, who filed to run in Arkansas today, ha-ha. Yeah, you may not even have health insurance. You probably don't. You just have your accountant write the fucking check. Because you got spaceship money. Now, we provide health insurance coverage to Willard Romney, Bishop Willard, but he doesn't need it. He can pay cash and never think twice about it. But day in and day out, we get these privileged fools in the for-profit media who enable people like Uncle Joe, who talk about how we can't possibly have Medicare for all because it would be unfair to those hard-working union member men and women who love their health care that they worked so hard to have. I'm not taking anything away from union members. But how would a union member not be better off with Medicare for all than whatever kind of coverage they've got, where everything is predicated on their ability to continue working and their ability to continue having work? Scott in San Diego says, ah, the medical maze. The jargon alone is designed to cause people to give up even before they've begun. Your descriptions of the plans there made me think of the old story told by Moms Mabley. A fellow down in Alabama went to the courthouse to register to vote. He was a black guy. The registrar informed him there'd be a brief test to ensure he was qualified to vote. The fellow was told, recite the Constitution forwards and backwards. So he recited the Constitution forwards and backwards. He was then instructed to recite the Old and New Testaments forwards and backwards. So he recited the Old and New Testaments forwards and backwards. The registrar then handed the fellow a newspaper written in Mandarin Chinese and asked the fellow, boy, what's this mean? The fellow handed him the newspaper and replied, means ain't no colored folks getting registered to vote here today. Scott says, I love the terminology the insurance companies use. Gold plan, more like pyrite plan, you know, fool's gold. And that Chinese restaurant menu shit, by the way, really did happen during the Jim Crow era. And proven that you could write by signing your name with a ballpoint pen on wax paper. Try it sometime. You won't be able to write. You know what's really frightening, Bob? Asks Darlene. Last night I was watching an interview on MSNBC with Sherrod Brown, who's coming out with a new book on the 8 most progressive senators in Congress, and I think we would agree that he's one of our more progressive statesmen. I will agree with that. However, said he does not want to get rid of Obamacare and that he wants to continue to build on it and work with it. I was so appalled at that. He's not a supporter of Medicare for all? I find that disheartening and gut-wrenching, not to mention sickening for someone who claims he's a progressive. I know it's early to select a candidate, but I'm starting to lean to Bernie. He's rarely, if ever, wavered. I watched a live town hall he did in Iowa this weekend, and yes, he had a heart attack last month, but it may wind up being an advantage for him because I think he's been dialing his expressiveness back a bit so as not to get all worked up physically and emotionally, but he's not dialing back on his opinions and his stance on helping the rest of us. I really can't worry about what might happen for him health-wise if he gets in the Oval. We got to do something or we're seriously fucked. That does not mean I've ruled out Elizabeth Warren, but I'm definitely leaning toward those two, and the two of them on a ticket would be my dream ticket when looking at the rest of the field. Well, I understand everything you're saying, Darlene. The list of people I wish would get the fuck out of the race is getting longer by the day just because people keep getting in. I woke up this morning to news that Deval Patrick, former governor of Massachusetts, was thinking about throwing his hat into the ring as if, well, see, and Darlene lives up in New England. Lovely, wonderful, progressive, sane New England. And sometimes it must be like a different planet up there. My buddy Bo lives in Massachusetts, having lived many years in the sacrifice zone here in West Virginia. He finally had to become a refugee and get the hell out. And that's how he describes it sometimes. If you've lived in a place like West Virginia, and then you go to some place that actually functions, like Massachusetts, it's a different world. I was telling him about the business with these healthcare plans. And, you know, Bo is older than I. So he doesn't have to worry about Romney Care or anything. But even Romney Care up in Massachusetts is far better than this shit. But there are people in the state house in Charleston who care about this, just not enough of them. There's far too many people in the West Virginia state house who are far more concerned with whether or not coal executives will be okay after yet another bankruptcy than they are with whether or not workaday West Virginians will be okay. But I suspect that these people, and they will try to palm themselves off on us as serious policy people, serious thinkers, when all they are is embedded, entrenched children of the past, the near past, not the distant past. I mean, if you had any real live, honest to God, and I've said this before, it would have been ever so simple if Bernie just would have said, I'm an FDR Democrat, and left it at that instead of handing the right wing a talking point on a silver platter with all the blather and palaver about socialism. I know it is. I know what it is. You know what it is. But we got to get out of our own bubbles and recognize that for Emery and Marvelline sitting on their matching Barca loungers down in the trailer park, socialism is something that if it happens, it'll mean that they have to go to hell when they die because it's the devil. And socialism is just devil worship. I'm not being funny. That's reality. But anybody who says we can't afford Medicare for all is so divorced from the actual reality of being working America that they don't understand that we can't afford any longer a for-profit healthcare system if we, and this is the big if that's part of it all, if we are even remotely serious about the idea of everybody participating in what we call America. I don't know if Robert in Australia is listening this evening. If he is, he's probably horrified by everything. He might even just be sitting there howling at the data that I put forward. because anybody in a civilized country is. And by civilized country, I exclude the United States of America until such time as we try to do something to make sure every American can go to the doctor when they're sick. But if you're in the UK and you've got access to the NHS, if you're in Australia, France, Germany, Canada, whatever kind of plan, whether it be a pure socialized plan or a hybrid of some sort, everybody's covered. And that just did not happen and is never going to happen with the Affordable Care Act. Now, between the Affordable Care Act and nothing, the Affordable Care Act looks pretty good. But that's not what it, you know what? Let's be clear about this. Maybe I pick out one of these plans. It could be gone at the stroke of a pen because of the suit, my own Attorney General, Pill Pushing Patty Morrissey, wants to take health care away from everybody who has it under the Affordable Care Act in this state, and several other attorneys general as well. It can all go away at the stroke of a pen, like I said. And nothing versus the Affordable Care Act, well, the Affordable Care Act wins, but not by much. Because if you heard those deductibles, then you know that's nothing too. If you've got to pay $10,000 before the insurance company pays a fucking nickel, even though you're giving them $400 a month, you don't have insurance. The best you can say is that if something catastrophic happens, you might have a little bit of help paying for it, but not much. So the metric isn't between nothing and the Affordable Care Act. The metric has to be between the Affordable Care Act and something that works, because the Affordable Care Act doesn't. I mean, okay. Look, I'm not trying to be strident. It has a certain functionality to it. Maybe it carries with it the cachet that if they roll you into the emergency room and you're unconscious, they're not going to say, hey, has he got insurance? And somebody says, no, they're going to say, well, let him die. Maybe that doesn't happen with your $10,000 deductible bronze plan. But I am now convinced that no politician, Amy Klobuchar, I'm talking to you, who says we can't afford Medicare for all, they just flat don't give a fuck. They've got theirs. And I would gladly say it to the face of any one of them. Because if your Uncle Joe or Pete, and you're out there braying about how people love their insurance coverage, that means you've never actually worried about it. And you've damn sure not talked to anybody except maybe the occasional union president who has his or hers. Not an attack on unions. But this is frightening. And it's not frightening for one hillbilly broadcaster in West Virginia. It's frightening. It is terrifying. It is freighted with existential dread for millions upon millions upon millions of American citizens. and Joe Manchin. Jesus Christ, Joe Manchin. Well, I don't think my constituents need to have health care. They can just go to church and pray. That might work. Earlier, at the mention of Pete Buttigieg, I got a note from Steve in New York. Official gay permission bestowed upon you. I can't stand Pete Buttigieg. In the case that anyone may find that homophobic, it's not. Either way, I'm giving you permission to use that term if you wish, because he's disgusting to me. I guess there are people... And see, this exposes another component of the problem. Now, just in the everyday, you know, walking around kind of life that I got, I haven't run into a bunch of people who say, boy, I tell you what, that Pete Buttigieg, that's a candidate for me. I haven't met him. I've met plenty of Warren people, lots of Bernie people. Yesterday, like I said, I saw my first Joe 20 bumper sticker. But then again, you know, that's just here in Appalachia. Fueled by the for-profit media, there are apparently people in, well, look at New Hampshire, Jesus Christ. Andrew Yang and Tulsi Gabbard together have 10% of the preference of Democrats in New Hampshire. The fuck? But then again, New Hampshire has a kind of a cantankerous, weird, slightly Alabama-ish streak to it. Remember, please, in terms of American history, the first state that ever proposed seceding from the Union, anybody? Bueller? South Carolina? No, New Hampshire. Back at the beginning of Daniel Webster's career. Some people in New Hampshire got the idea that they... we're not so crazy about this being part of a country thing. So instead of talking to people all over California, for instance, or New York, you've got a small phalanx of for-profit media reporters scurrying all over Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, trying to scrounge up people who will create the impression of a horse race. Because that's where the good money is. That's where the big dollar is. And again, it's about the questions we ask. Who do you support? Oh, I support Mayor Pete. Well, why? I support Uncle Joe. Well, you realize he doesn't want Medicare for all. He doesn't want all Americans to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. Well, yeah, but he can beat Trump. What makes you think that? Well, he says he can. Ugh. Steve in New York, regarding Medicare for all, what I'm really waiting for is for someone to say that nobody's ever done this before in the world, which, of course, is wrong. Well, nobody that didn't want to be a godless socialist. And Steve says, socialism, you're spot on. I have an uncle. He has a wife and four children, lives in a small town in Ohio, does good, honest work in a factory, supports his family. As I recall, one kid utilized Head Start. They go to public schools. Back in 2009, when the debate about the stimulus was in high gear then, I remarked to him that we needed to stimulate the economy, and the best way to do that was through infrastructure investment, etc. His response, yeah, but that's socialism. Steve adds, he is now, of course, a maggot. Mm-hmm. Kim in New Jersey says, Medicare Part D sucks too. I'm on Medicare with a retiree supplemental plan from my former employer. I was thinking of switching, so I checked out Part D drug plans. They suck. I compared costs for a Xanax prescription that I have. Results were shocking. $7 under current company retiree plan. $197 on all Plan D not covered with a $450 deductible. Yet on GoodRx, which is a very good thing to use, it's just $10.99. Even Medicare is crazy when you look to supplement, which you really need to do. The Medicare Advantage plans are all designed to make lots of money for the insurance industry. Kim in New Jersey. Jesus. Well, because it's, you know, it's not about giving people health care. It's about getting executives profits. Hint, says Scott in San Diego, the operative word in the phrase Affordable Care Act is affordable. But the affordable part was taken out of it by the relentless assault of the Republicans upon it. Jim says, Mayor Pete, no thanks, Bob. Biden, credit card and carry. Well, I'm afraid you're right on both counts. Polling out today, Ron in Raleigh says, as of noon, Mayor Pete 20%, Uncle Joe 19%, Liz Warren 18%, Bernie 16%, Amy Klobuchar 5%. Where, Ron? Is that a national polls are fairly meaningless. Mayor Pete, Jesus. Just something, and it's not about, it's certainly not about the gay part. I think it's about the white privilege part. Joe 20 bumper sticker, Lee in New York. Cowbell for Lee. Dinosaurs were roaming the earth when Joe was 20. Ah! I wanted to share that. And I don't know how we're going to round up a thousand extra bucks a month when we're, you know, down $1,010 right now for fundraising. And I don't know what I'm going to get if we just do one of those $350 plans where I don't get to keep my doctor. I've got to do further research. I will report back. It was out of Iowa, Mayor Pete at 20%. Jesus. Jim says, I receive 4 calls a day for these Medicare programs. They all suck. No thanks. And by the way, where fundraising is concerned, there's only tonight and tomorrow, and we got $1,010 to raise so that we're not in a $1,000 hole when I'm back on Monday. That's just too terrifying to contemplate. So if anybody wants to jump in and help reduce it, last night Anatole and Barry did, or else we'd still be at 1,070. Thank you. And thanks to all of our subscribers. Oh, and just a little informational tweak from Brother Deacon Asa. Remember, the average health insurance CEO makes 18 million quid annually. You can't do that on the back of Medicare for All, Bob. No, I'm afraid they'd have to work for a living. Well, that, or we could send all the insurance CEOs up to live on a farm upstate where they can run and play in the fields all day and have all they wanted to eat and lots of fun. Just send them to it, yeah. Soylent Healthcare executive is people, Bob. Right. So we're almost to the halfway point of this Titanic Tuesday program. And I've got something I want to get to later in the program regarding, again, how we talk about impeachment. And I think it just kind of dawned on me today. I think it might actually be fairly important. But let's run over to the phones and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
You know, freezing. Hey, it's up to 66 degrees in here now.
shit, man. You're in Miami. Come on.
I think I can back the heater down to level one from level two.
Well.
Oh, Agnes just hollered, you're welcome. Thank you, dear. Yeah.
Well, you know, like on Halloween, we had this, it was 85. Yeah, it was about 80. It was 85 degrees in the car on Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And a rainstorm came, and then it went down to in the 30s. And the weather's been all weird since then. So, you know. But that, look, man, that story, your story, you know, it's just, I have to agree with Darlene, and I said that to you last time we talked. This shit is unsustainable. I use the same word. But
so we say that, we say that. Just hold on a minute. So we say that, and what does it mean when we say that it's unsustainable? When it becomes unsustainable, what happens?
I'll tell you what happens. We got to get all Hong Kongy on these motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, that's people taking direct action. But what? No, really. I mean, it just trundles along because this is America. We're not going to get all Hong Kong. We're not going to get all Santiago, Chile, because we don't do that. Because we got to be at work on Monday. So if we remove the fantasy that we're going to take to the streets and, you know, demand justice, what happens? I mean, what does it look like, Todd? I'm being very serious about this. What does it
all
look?
Right,
what does it
fine.
Look like when we? What does it look like when we just trundle along? I mean, does 10% of the population just start, or 10% extra just start dying off every year?
Yes, that's exactly what I was about to say. Now you want to get all serious, and I'm not joking around and making voices and doing this and that. No, yes. That, you know, maybe that's the fucking plan. Look, the powers that be, the power elite. Right? They're just trying to call the herd. I mean, if you really look at it, if you put all these, not just healthcare, but everything else. Look at southern Louisiana. Look at parts of Texas, around Houston, where they, you know, they make all these ungodly, nasty chemicals. And, you know, and folks have to live near those plants like they're living near Bhopal, India. Look at where you live. They don't give a fuck about you. You know, I mean, microparticulates. You know,
yeah, but our betters have to have enough of us to serve them, don't they?
Well, they got plenty.
Or are they just going to use robots down the road?
No, there's plenty of people, man. Come on, you're expendable. I'm expendable. I'm serious. So at the end of the day, this will be the elite. They want to make this the elite place to be. If you don't have enough money, you can't live in America. You're not going to be here. It will be unsustainable. But what they don't, I don't know, what they don't think about. I mean, I'm thinking like Dickens era now. I'm just, this is, you know, they forget that they don't live in a bubble. Like, you know, they're going to have to take care of somebody at some point because the poor folk make their food. But remember, they did this shit. We've been through this. Slaves had to make the food for the masters. And after slavery, you know, it was underpaid black servants. You know, that they talk shit to. Talking shit to people that fix your food. All the time, every day, all day. For decades, and they go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, and like Sandy, and sometimes Sandy Duncan gets her water cup spit in.
Right. Well, look, may as well. They've been sucking. I had a friend. He's dead now. He loved his mammy. He had a fucking mammy down here, and he sucked on her teeth. He lived on a black woman's milk. So, you know, at some point people forget that we're not all connected. We are all connected. And so, you know, they're just trying to price us out of life, working people, because there's a lot of people making a lot of money. This separation of the classes, of the money class, is not social, because that's the difference in my mind. Because they, you know, class and money are different in my mind. But, you know, we're being priced out. And, like, the supermarket today, my God, what the fuck? The food has gone up in the past 2 months like crazy. Like crazy, crazy. Like, I'm baking bread again. You know, because, you know, I like good bread. And people around me like good bread. And unless I can get to where the private reserve is or Trader Joe's, it's just not worth it. And I'm not paying $4.50 for a loaf of Arnold.
No.
No, I'm not. You know, Arnold's good, but damn, that's the best you got. And they've got all the spaces taken up by that shitty-ass white bread that you can't even make a sandwich with. But that's another story. You know what I mean. So, you know, this is some crazy shit. And back to something else that you said maybe last week, just to kind of neuter an argument from the other side. Yes, these people will be repurposed if and when we finally do the right thing with the insurance industry. Because just like if you've ever been with an organization that had to maybe clean out, okay, what will happen is that they'll hire someone to come in, and they'll get a title or whatever, some kind of crazy title, and people will be required to resubmit their CVs or a resume, depending what level you are. And that's the way they clean out, okay, to get rid of people. But, and those will be the first people in line, you know, when we finally get this right. Because we have money. There's so much money in this country. We're awash in money. We are awash in money, period. And so it's not about the money. It's just about people being greedy and evil and nasty. That's what this shit is about. This is bullshit. There's definitely a way to get this done. But they want to privatize. For instance, I live in a county seat. Now, they're slowly closing the hospital here in the county seat.
Yeah. Now they wouldn't be. Now if you had expanded Medicaid in South Carolina, they wouldn't be doing that.
They wouldn't be doing that. But guess what they're building? They have these urgent cares everywhere now.
Oh, Doc in a Box, Quack in a Shack.
Yeah. Hit McDonald's and then go to urgent care. Yeah, no problem. So what I'm saying, you know, so right. So I think that they're just trying to price us out of life. If you work for a check, if you work for a check, you know, we're being priced out. And it's not, you know, it's like the frog in the pot, the crab in the pot. The water's boiling slowly.
Well, and no, as Jim pointed out, in the words of Dickens' Christmas Carol, the poor can die and decrease the surplus population.
Right. Useless eaters. They've already said that. They've been saying that shit.
But it's a little. There's a little bit of a shade of difference where health insurance is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're talking about, and I'm not being elitist in this, it ain't just the poor. Okay, in states with the Medicaid expansion, the poor have coverage. When we're talking about the ACA, we're talking about people who are doing, you know, who are not what we typically refer to as the poor. We're talking about people who like to call themselves, although they probably aren't, middle class.
Right.
And so they're doing things that are important within our economy. Well, I guess there's enough of an excess that, you know, just like after a slate fall kills 29 miners, there's 29 more stepping up wanting the damn job.
Well, and you brought it up earlier. Remember, automation. They see the future as automation. There's just too many workers and not enough jobs. See, these people work, you know, four steps ahead.
Without a doubt, it's a frightening future, Todd.
Don't think for a minute. All right, let me expand this. Let me get macro for 1 second here. Remember, space is privatized now. It won't be very long before folks will be going to the moon. There's already shit out there on the moon.
Oh, man. Agnes showed me a picture of an asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most valuable thing in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is made almost entirely of iron and gold and platinum.
They're going to mine that sucker.
Oh, somewhere, you know, they're not... There's probably a legion of one percenters. God damn it! I wish Elon Musk is going to get there first. Son of a bitch! God damn it! Look at all that! Look at all that wealth!
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is calculate the right right trajectory, and you can just carve that shit out and throw some rockets on it. And well, hell, by the time you drop it into Earth orbit, you drop it into the, you know, you drop it into the ocean, and you go cash in.
And you got a couple ships around there with weapons and make sure nobody's going to try to pirate, you know, be off of your booty, be, you know, that's it. Absolutely. I mean, this is not science fiction anymore. This is the real deal. Because we don't even, you know, they're not telling us what's on the dark side of the moon. There's this stuff. Come on. The moon last night was unbelievable. It was so close you could touch it. It was clear here last night. I don't know about you, but it was clear. Oh, my God. It was just unbelievable. It was phenomenal. So we're dealing with that also. And remember, we've always had this, you know, this crowd who has been thinking for a long time that there's just too many people. You know.
That goes all the way back to the 19th century in Malthus. The Malthusian.
Don't get all Malthusian on me. Are you going to get Malthusian on me?
I ain't going to get Malthusian. But think about the Georgia Guidestones.
Oh, God.
You know, predicated on a time... And written in they hoped the Rosicrucians did that they'd written it in enough language that somebody could figure it out, and these rules for, you know, don't let the population get over what number, and dude, be excellent to each other, and rules for building the new civilization after the collapse.
Jim put that up there on a drunken binge from the Citadel. He just went over there. I'm telling you.
No. Yeah, I don't think that was Jim. Jim was working the bong with stirrups and an aquarium pump angle back then.
Mm. Oh, don't talk about the Pyrex. Yeah, but this $1,300 a month nonsense. I mean, that what the fuck?
Well, okay, man? So here's a part I don't understand because I've never navigated this before. So they tell me I've got X amount of a subsidy. And they talk about getting a tax credit on next year's taxes. So that number I see, that $1,300 number, is that the amount I'm actually going to pay? Or is it $1,300 plus that subsidy, which I will allegedly get back on my taxes in 2020? I don't know the answer to that. Darlene probably does.
Yeah, that's a little nebulous, isn't it?
Well, I mean, no, it's just a knowledge thing, and I don't know the answer. So I don't know if the premium would actually be, say, $1,300 or $1,800. But you know, the thing
point.
Is, if you're, I mean, we know, I mean, I know what the bills are here. I pay X amount for three lines of crappy internet.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, it may be overpriced, but at least they deliver something for the money that I pay them. All right? Same thing with my coal-fired electric grid. It's overpriced and it doesn't work very well, but they do deliver something. I look at these insurance plans, and it seems to be all about me giving them money and them giving me nothing. It's just giving, you know, I'm giving them money, the government's giving them money, and they're just sitting there counting it.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me write. See, now you're making me take notes. And I meant to mention this last time we talked. Yes, I absolutely. You were talking about techno infrastructure, and it was bugging the shit out of me, and I didn't have a chance to pipe back in on this. So, yeah, and then let me get on, and then let me mention back to the healthcare. But this is something that's been fucking. I don't understand. Maybe you can, you know, explain this shit to me. As far back as I can remember, and I started having a landline, I was probably 19. And, you read the bill, universal connectivity fee. So I'm like, man, I'm in college. I got a part-time job. I had this house off campus. Why the fuck am I paying this shit? What is this? I got a couple hours on my hands to call up. Oh, that's so people in rural areas so we can build out lines. I'm like, okay, that's fair. I get it. So then, for some reason, with these fires out west, I'm thinking, I wonder if those people, what has been happening to their connectivity fees for electricity? Why don't they have power lines underground? Because it can't just be where I was.
Oh, but see, that's one of Steve from Georgistan's pet peeves. And we've gone over this on a number of occasions on Friday on the front porch.
Okay.
You can't just bury the power lines everywhere. For instance, where I live, the power lines have to be strung on toothpicks through the woods. because I'm refilling my water bottle here. You have to do it that way because you might get a foot down. You might dig down a foot in the dirt, and then it's sandstone the rest of the way to China, or at least rock.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean that means we got a foot of soil, and the rest of it is rock, and you can't bury power lines a foot down. And you'd be doing more blasting here than they do on mountaintop removal sites to bury those lines.
Oh.
And you cannot bury, and Sparky's an expert in this, you cannot bury the high tension transmission lines.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotta be up in the air in order to be able to transport the electricity. You don't necessarily need those if everybody, you know, is their own personal grid with their own panels and their own batteries and everything. But if you want it, but even if you want a decentralized grid where everybody's contributing to it with their solar panels, you've still got to be able to move it. And physics is physics, and you're gonna lose some percentage of the electricity. But you can't just bury all the lines.
Okay, and you just brought up a very good point about, using a mixed bag. Some people, their property, right, in India need to have the solar where, it gets back to the grid. You take what you need from your household and it pumps back into the grid. And that's better for the collective anyway. Because this centralized stuff is going to bite us in the butt pretty soon.
Bit me in the ass last night.
The power goes out once a month here. We just got underground lines.
Well, I mean, look what happened here last night. It was 65 degrees, blue skies, no wind, as pretty a day as you could want, and 5:15, power goes out. And it was out until like 10 minutes till 7. So I didn't get on the
air
until a little
bit. Right.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe some meth muncher took out a transformer. But it was sufficient to take out electricity for like 4,000 people here. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I had a note from Tracy. Subject line, just to piss you off, meaning me, a photograph of the thermometer inside her car showing the outside external temperature there in fabulous Los Angeles. 88 degrees Fahrenheit, just to piss you off. This is the current temperature here in my neck of the woods. And no, I'm not bragging. It's really pissing me off that in November it's still fucking hot. Fuck the assholes who say that climate change is a hoax. Fuck that shit. I know I shouldn't complain considering what the weather is in the rest of the country, but damn, a sister really would like to wear a sweater and get my inner white girl on by drinking a fucking pumpkin spice latte once in a while. Yeah, I said it. And then Tracy adds, with that said, let's do an I'm fucking tired of summer weather in November challenge for $50 just to get the fundraising started for the evening. Enough with the whining and on with the fundraising.
Tracy.
Yeah, so thank you, Tracy. That'll get us off the schneid this evening. We're at 1,010. If somebody will meet Tracy's challenge and get the ball rolling, we'll get down to 910, and that would be
tremendously
helpful.
I'm trying to convince Tracy to be a motivational speaker. Believe it or not, honestly, last time we talked, and she didn't believe me, but and I'm kind of telling her, but yeah, and it's a beautiful thing she's doing for the community and the program. But she, I mean, Mike, I don't think she understands that the things that she is doing. She absolutely should be a motivational speaker. But okay, so and that's beautiful, Tracy, and everyone thanks you for that. Honest to God. But it's cold as shit here, and it's colder here than it is in Philly. Anyway, and this is different, you know, it's that damp. We've been through that. This is fucked up shit, man. This is fucking cold as hell. I had to bring my plants in and everything. It's fucked up. So look, we can't keep, motherfuckers can't be walking around sick, dropping dead. It's just too much shit going on. What's going to happen when there's an outbreak? The flu is going to be bad this year.
I got my flu shot right now. Somebody said your arm was hurt. Yeah,
the sore
is almost entirely gone, and that was last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that was the only ill effect. I'm going to have to save nickels now to get my my pneumonia booster up. But yeah, at least I got my flu shot. That's 2 years in a row now, so glory hallelujah. And hopefully they guessed right this year.
Yeah, isn't that funny? That's why I stopped getting that, man.
Don't stop getting it, man. No, don't stop getting it. It's going to afford you some level of protection one way or the other. I mean, I've noticed when I get flu shots, I get less head colds. That's
really?
That's anecdotal, but yeah.
That's interesting. You know, since we're talking about health real quick, and I know I'm going to sound like an asshole, but I just have to get this off. Now, anytime an organism, especially mammals, you know, try to engage in behavioral modification, change of behavior. A lot of it is motivation. So you sound like you're motivated in this endeavor, and you know damn well what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So don't even bother. If you're not motivated, don't even bother. And like, I'm only saying this from, you know, someone who has a background in this area and who's been through this. I mean, my God, drum, I used to roll my own. I mean, I used to love missing a train. I'm like, oh, I missed a train. Thank God, now I can smoke another cigarette, you know. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, there's different things work for different people. But the first thing is don't give up. You got to be, you know, when you're motivated, that's strike while the iron's hot. You're motivated, that's a big deal to be motivated. You know, that's a big part of it. So, you know, what helped me out, honestly, once I was motivated, because it wasn't overnight. You know, when I quit in 98, and I had been smoking for 18 years. And I, you know, I was smoking the, you know, no filter, the good shit. I was getting all of it. And I stopped smoking. I stopped melting rocks at the same time. But that's a whole different story. But what I did for the cigarettes, you know, every cigarette is not the same. Sometimes you just smoke because you have them, and it's just, you know, it's a habit.
During this program, during these 3 hours, Agnes pointed it out mm-hmm. the other day. She said, most of yours burn up. You don't even smoke them. They just make you, they make you happy that they're there. They give you something to do. As if, you know, as if monitoring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 computer screens, taking calls, reading emails. But, you know, I'm so freaking ADHD that I still, you know, that's just do-less for me.
Right.
Yeah. But you'll be interested to know today I brought home like a 5-pound bag of on special mini Tootsie Rolls. So, you know, me and Kojak. Who loves you, baby?
Well, who loves you? Remember, oh, God, that show never gets old.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I particularly like Telly Savalas in, what was it, Kelly's Heroes?
Oh, yeah.
World War II movie? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good 70s movie.
Now, I don't like the raspberry Tootsie Rolls, and, you know, there's not supposed, or Tootsie Pops, and there's not supposed to be green apple Tootsie Pops, but there are. My favorites are the orange, the lemon, and the cherry. I do not like the chocolate Tootsie Pops either, because chocolate...
Chocolate ones are nasty as fuck. Oh, my
Thank
God.
Thank you.
I'm a serious... I'm like, who told them it was okay to make this shit? Like, this is a joke, right? I'm being punked. I'm never... Oh, my God. And I kept buying it. I'm like, no, this was a bad batch. Get another one. No, it's nasty as fuck.
Yeah, that hard candy chocolate just, you know... That's halfway to fucking whorehound. Yuck.
Yuck. It's like an adult candy, but past that, it's like this is something fucking that the old ladies would give out that nobody want to eat. You know, what the fuck is this?
Oh, old lady bottom of the purse candy. Yes.
Right, with the dust on it and old tissue stuff.
And if she's a smoker, there's little tobacco crumbs that's worked their way inside the cellophane.
Oh, the tobacco crumbs. That's a visual.
Lint and tobacco crumbs, you know, they just, yeah.
Man. Oh, God. So that's good. I'm you know, honestly, what really helped me out, man, I'm serious. When I got, so anyway, I would keep a tab of the most, one on a Likert scale, a Likert, you know, 1 to 5, what, you know, the most satisfying and the least satisfying, right, cigarettes. And the ones, you know, that are really, you know, I just got rid of the ones that, you know, were ones, you know, just get rid of those. And when you get down to 2 or 3 a day, you're home free. Then you have to make a decision. Do I really need this?
Right.
And then you'd be like, damn. But then, man, I'm telling you, I was freed up, man. I was like, wow, I don't like the smell anymore. I mean, it was just. It was harder to do that than it was to stop melting the rocks. The melting the rocks, that went overnight because I was really ready. And I was like, woke up the next day. I was like, done, you know. But the cigarettes, now it was tough, especially waiting on the subway, you know. But so, you know, you write it down. Like after a big meal when you're drinking, you know, those are tough. You know, but. You know, it motivates. They like you have a goal now. You know, it's like you know, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, it's mind over matter. It's like do I really want to do this? What are the consequences? Think it through. Do I really want to light this one up? I can save it for later, or I can smoke this now, and I won't have it later. But anyway, that's enough of that. I'm not preaching. I'm just saying, because I'm that guy. I'm that ex-smoker, man. We're the worst kind. But it's good, man. Everyone's happy for you that you're motivated. And don't feel bad. Don't beat yourself up when you slip, because
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But you have a greater goal. It's going to happen, but you have a greater goal. You know what I mean? Come on. You know, it's like that bad relationship. You go back, and it's like, I know I shouldn't, but and then finally it's done. So you got the Tootsie Pops, but you know, this healthcare thing is just this is like the elephant in the room, because I mean, what the fuck is it?
Well, it has the potential to destroy the whole economy, not Medicare for all. That's what they, Medicare for all, destroy the whole economy. No, it won't. But this situation as it presently exists may damn well do so.
Absolutely. We have money for everything else. We have money for everything else. Everything else. I mean, come on. I'm one bomb.
Well, nobody said, hey, we can't afford to go slaughter the brown people in Iraq now, did they?
Oh, no, go for it.
Yeah.
That would be easy.
Exactly.
Well, okay. You know what? And I have a good grit story. The good grits are now. I had to call the line of food. I complained because they, you know, first of all, they stopped carrying the stone ground yellow grits.
Yeah.
Then they got them back. And now they're repacked. Well, sometimes... The last time I got them, they were in a plastic sleeve, and now they're in like an oatmeal container, which is, you know, wonderful. And so I'm very happy about that, and everyone else is very happy because, you know, for obvious reasons, it's more sealed, and it makes all the sense in the world because we all need. I mean, and that's the other thing. My God, people complain about, you know, food assistance or, you know, if you're not on food assistance or whatever. People have to eat. The best safeguard to good health is good food. And the most expensive things in the supermarket are juice and protein.
Oh, the fresher it is, the more expensive it is. And, of course, you got to bear in mind that this time of year, pay attention in your produce aisle. Everything's from Peru and Chile.
Well, yeah, it's summertime there.
Right.
So... You know, there's that part. So, next time we talk, I want to walk through a nice white wine sauce.
Ooh, lovely! But sounds good.
But you know what's better? And I have to say this really quickly: chicken piccata.
I love chicken piccata.
No, are you serious?
Oh no, I do, with the capers and I love it.
Yeah. Oh man, look. Man, my shit is off the fucking chain. Man, I start with the chicken breast that's already wrapped up, you know, vacuum sealed, the good stuff, the corn-fed chicken. Pound it really thin in the wrapper, right?
Yeah, there's really the key. You got to pound that stuff. You got to be able to read through it.
Right. Oh. And then dredge it in mayo, and then I use, you know, I'm going to be honest. I like the Planko mixed with. I get three canisters of breadcrumbs, the Italian, the plain Planko, and then probably another Italian. But you empty out the other Italian, and then you mix the half and half, like half Planko and half Italian, and one, and shake it up. So that's, you know, after you dredge it in the mayonnaise, and then that's the coating. I mean, the recipe calls for flour, but it's better the other way. But oh my God, that man, I cooked it for someone the other day, and it was just unbelievable, man. That's why I get spoiled. Sometimes you go out to eat, it's just a letdown. You know, it's just a letdown. So it was over Capellini, you know, Angel Hair. And I'm telling you, man, oh my God. So anyone who's never had this, and it was so tender, I'm telling you, man. Jesus Christ. Okay. So you had some other things to talk about, and I'm going to get off the phone, but what were you about to bring up before you let me in?
Oh, that sounds fantastic, but I just got a note from Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Tell Todd to stop giving away our breading secrets.
No, shit. It's true, because what happens is that, you know, the planko doesn't necessarily get into the nooks and crannies.
No, and it also it also doesn't get mushy. It doesn't get mushy. It holds up better. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I can't wait for warm weather to get here, and it's a long ways off, but I have plans. And, you know, there's going to be times this winter when it's going to be decent enough to be outside, and I'm still working toward my ramen broth. I just had to gather way too many ingredients from way too many different places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready.
You know how it is, man. When you see that good spice, you have to get it.
Oh yeah.
So that when you're ready, like when I was ready to make the piccata, I was like, wow, I have everything here. I had the capers, because you know you can't reproduce the capers. Some things you can substitute, but there's nothing like a caper. You have to have a caper.
No, capers are capers.
Capers are capers. I don't even know what that is. It's a baby bud or something.
Yeah, it's a little flower bud. And they, you know, yeah, brine them and pickle them and their head. And you know you can't have a bagel with cream cheese and smoked salmon and you know thin sliced red onion and tomato. You got to have some capers in that too. No way around.
It was you, Bob. I saw you at the deli down there at 34th and Market. I saw you had to have the big corned beef hash sandwich. You had to have the big one, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to have the big one.
Man.
Go big or go home.
All right, man.
All right, Todd, good talking to you, brother. Bye.
You too. We'll talk.
All right, later.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
That's our buddy Todd calling from Philadelphia. No, of Philadelphia, calling from South Carolina stand. Let's see. Let me jump back to a couple of emails real quick. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. For all who want it. Yeah, Medicare for all who want it. Matt says, as a gay person, I would be happy to see a gay president. However, not one that speaks real pretty in order to fool people into thinking he gives a shit about people being able to go to the doctor. I don't know anyone who's jumping up and down and happy with their coverage. Maybe it's because I've passed the age of 55 and have had to have a thing or two fixed and have personal experience with what's covered and how much a deductible actually means, which is basically money out of my pocket and I should just shut up and be happy I don't have to pay the entire bill. Medicare for all would be such progress as a people. Just the stress relief alone would be worth the price. It would also mean a person would not have to stay in a job they no longer like, simply so they don't go broke because of an unforeseen illness. Anything less is just bubbling around the edges. The same thing that's been going on for my entire life. Yeah, I wonder if there's somebody out there, and it would have to be pretty much an octogenarian, and they would have been at best a teenager or 20-something. What did it feel like when there was, during the Truman administration, when they were talking about having health care for the whole country? Was that a hopeful thing? Did it feel like maybe the country was trying to fulfill some portion of its promise? Because here I am, 56, soon 57. That's predates me. It predates the 70-somethings. I mean, if you were born in 1944, we're talking about something that was going on when you were 4 years old. And that's a late 70s. You'd almost,
You know who we could ask? And he seems to be feeling better. We ought to ask Jimmy Carter. What was that like? Maybe ask Miss Rosalind. They might could tell us. And it might be valuable information. So, yeah, Matt, thanks for all who want it. Yeah, between that and deciding he was going to read and decide he was deciding he was going to ride Frederick Douglass's dead black ass, yeah, Pete just doesn't impress. But if he's the nominee, he gets my vote. See how that works? Yeah. And then from Lady B. I can remember back in the 70s and 80s, if you wanted to qualify for welfare, you had to be a single mother. Many were, but many were not. Mom and dad had to divorce so they could feed, clothe, and provide health care for their kids. Many black fathers worked, but they made nowhere near the money whites did, and even the ones in the good jobs risked being the first ones fired should the company decide to downsize. We can go into another discussion about the black culture and some of the real reasons behind so many single-parent families. At first, it was slavery. Then, after a while, there was a sort of forced method to this madness. I think it's become so ingrained in our culture that we stopped trying to figure it out, if we ever did. It didn't start out that way. Nobody wanted it to ever be that way, but it ended up that way, and that's how it is. But throughout the years, there have always been stories of couples having to divorce so one could qualify for medical benefits. That is, and should never be, a need or a choice for you. Why should you have to separate from your wife and declare yourself single to qualify for affordable medical insurance? Why should anybody have to do that? You love your wife. Why in the hell would you ever think to do that? Bob, the game is the same. Only the names have changed. And we Americans seem to worship this madness with slavish devotion. For some reason, it seems to make sense to us that a family should have to be broken up, that a family should go bankrupt, all for a basic human right that we absolutely 100% can afford to take care of. But I guess that just leaves those of us who think of things that way as crazy and stupid. I can't figure it out, so maybe I shouldn't try. After all, there is some comfort in being kind of crazy, don't you think? Well, it beats feeling like you're sane and knowing that we're feeling like nothing's ever going to change, I suppose. But then again, if you want to ask the question why things are the way they are, ask Mrs. Greenspan. Ask Joke Toad. Ask Chris Matthews. Ask Andrew Cuomo or Chris Cuomo. Ask Allison Camerota. Ask George Snuffleupagus. Because they're the ones, and you know, ask the publisher of the New York Times and the Washington Post. Because they're the ones that frame the issues. They're the ones that make things like impeachment sound like some sort of potential earth-ending event when it is just a matter of the Constitution being used as the Constitution was designed to be employed. Ask them why they keep promulgating this myth of, oh, we can't have that. Ask, you know, instead of just letting them get away with saying, well, we can't afford that, ask Uncle Joe why. Ask Pete Buttigieg why it's Medicare for all who want it. What kind of answer do you expect to get? Because it'll be bad for my insurance industry friends? Or because the American people are too stupid to recognize what a net benefit it would be? That's another reason I respect Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. They honestly believe that the American people can learn what's being done to them and can act accordingly. They want the people to be sovereign whereas far too many other politicians want to lead. Think about it. Subject line, deductible. Con! This from Arthur. Just got home. To me, deductibles means, oh, basic health care costs? Sure, you pay for those. I'm glad I have coverage from work, for sure. I just wish I didn't have to pay for the first $5,000 or so a year. Also, if I had my now business, why would I want to pay and spend time outside my core competence on health care coverage for me and my employees? Precisely. How does American business, you know, holy, sacred American business, not also benefit from not having its resources sucked up in trying to maintain coverage for its employees? How do American automakers not wind up being markedly more competitive with their foreign counterparts if we've got Medicare for all? And unions don't have to sweat out every contract because the company comes in and says, boys, you know, the insurance is going up. And you wind up on strike. But instead, you got people like Michael Bloomberg out there if you look on my Twitter timeline, I retweeted a woman earlier today who interviewed or heard a speech by Michael Bloomberg talking to some of his executive buddies and talking about all the things that us proles can't have. I agree with Elizabeth Warren. Why do you run for president if you don't want to do the hard work of making lives better? Why do you run for president just to tell the American people what we can't do? Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Or what we can do together. And maybe that's part of it too. Maybe we are so thoroughly divided now that we don't want anything to do with being a United States. At this point in time, the United States are united practically in name only. I'll have to read that later. Scott in San Diego sent along a link. From 1945, Truman's special message to the Congress recommending comprehensive health program. There it is. And a reminder, as we have crossed into the third hour of the program, Tracy has put a challenge on the table of $50 that'll get us down to $910 to go fundraising-wise if it is met. So if we got 10 folks with $5 or five people with $10 or two with 25 or one with 50 or one with 30 and one with 20 or whatever, Tracy will double your money. So let's not let that challenge slide by. And it would be awfully nice if we didn't have a $1,000 hole when I get back on Monday after being away Thursday and Friday. Yep, good observation. Todd asks, why do you think auto manufacturers go to Canada and Mexico? Sure. And let's run over and check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Freezing, but it's not as bad as it was in here.
Well, understood. It's kind of dippy over here. Listen, I'm terribly sorry about your Bluetooth. It may have a cavity there. I don't know, but I hope you can get it fixed.
It's a hot. I don't know what it's. It's crazy. I think the little gizmo that drives it is not long for this world.
Well understood. Listen, as I said many times before, it's a crown they crucify, and there it is, and there you have it. But there are a couple of things I'd like to say, if I may, please.
Go right ahead.
First, pursuant to broadcast of 25 October, and the great cat thing. I apologize heartily for that. I basically misunderstood. I had fallen asleep, and my tablet was just blazing forth with all these people, and I just misunderstood. It was a terrible mistake, and I duly apologize.
Well, that is my gentlemanly of you, Jim, and I appreciate it. And
thank you, sir.
I'm sorry for the misunderstanding, but we were just clowning around and having fun.
Well understood. I like to do the same as myself. Remember the stirrups of the bog.
Is there a photo of that anywhere, Jim? I mean, was all evidence destroyed?
I don't know. They could have been destroyed. And back in those days, we were all terribly afraid of a knock at the door and that sort of thing. Because it was, I guess, in the eyes of the law.
But it was a good 3-4 feet tall, right?
Sir?
It was a good 3 or 4 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
With an aquarium pump and stirrups.
Yes, sir, it was indeed, and it worked marvelously. The only thing I've ever seen more efficient than that is to take a rifle and use a chamber as a loading pot. That's about it.
Holy God, I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, well, that's what they did in Southeast Asia, but nonetheless, I don't want to get off into that, but Veterans Day is past but not forgotten, and all my words tonight in the to God's ears and to the ears of people within the sound of my voice in honor of our veterans still with us and those who have gone on before. And that's all I can basically say without really being sort of choked up.
I understand.
I remember when I lived in D.C., I used to go to Arlington on Sunday afternoons in the winter when it was dreadfully cold and there weren't many tourists. And I was sitting by President Mrs. Kennedy's grave and just read the excerpts from his speeches carved on these massive stone plinths surrounding the area. And in those situations, I just quietly wept. It was my own way of paying respect. But moving on, sir, in pursuit to number one, your spoke out, I hope it is successful. That's a rough thing to go through.
Well, I'm trying to set it up so I can be successful. Yesterday just was not the day.
I'm sure it wasn't.
The key element
of that is to find a substitute for it.
Hence the 3-pound bag of mini Tootsie Pops.
When I quit, I use these. Oh my God, they're like menthol flavored cough drops.
Yeah.
By Halls.
Yep.
And that did it for me.
I'm just curious, were you a menthol smoker?
No, I never could take menthol cigarettes. They were just nasty. Oh, Lord.
I thought maybe you went with the Halls Mentholiptus because you were,
That's what I used, exactly, Mentholiptus. They were pretty good because they kind of bite the way nicotine does. Yeah, they do indeed, but they help.
Yeah, my mother quit, I think I mentioned a few nights ago. She could not go anywhere without a purse full of not any other brand, but Brock's butterscotch.
Well, whatever works, that's what you need to go for. That's for sure. And all my best to you. I know it's hard, and I know it's going to have a very noble purpose and a practical purpose. And I just hope that you are successful. I'm sure you will be.
I want to be. I'd like to be. And you and I swap book titles from time to time, Jim. And
yes, sir. And
I don't think I mentioned this to you, but this is a book that I think you will absolutely devour. I've been enjoying it immensely, even though the topic is bloody and hateful.
Proceed.
The author is Barbara Holland.
Yes, sir.
And the name of the book is Gentleman's Blood.
Could it have to do with dueling?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. From swords at dawn to pistols at dusk.
I had an ancestor who was killed with a duel like that, Bob.
Well, the reason I mentioned it is there's an entire chapter on dueling in South Carolina.
That was a pretty rough road to hoe, for sure. if you didn't take the challenge, you were in bad shape, really.
You would be, I've learned so much, that you would be, and the term is posted.
Exactly.
For a coward.
The code of the duello, it was called, I believe.
Yep.
And I had one ancestor who was not confident that he would win, and he went against a guy who was like the underdog. But my ancestor he was sort of a dandy. He had a white cravat that he used on his breast pocket. His opponent said, in the outset of that duel, he said, "My God, the man has marked his heart for me." And that bullet found its mark. And that pride took a fall on that day, that's for sure. That's in our family history. I don't want to go into that because there's too many counts.
Well, for all I know, he may be in this book.
He may be. Cash Shannon. Cash Shannon Duel. Yes, sir. The Cash Shannon Duel in Camden, South Carolina.
Well, they go over the, of course, Burr and Hamilton and Stephen Decatur. And there's a section on apparently newspaper editor in the first half of the 19th century almost came with a brace of pistols.
Yeah, too.
But some of it is positively some of it's positively ridiculous.
Oh, egos can get very large, and they've always been extremely large, even in the early 19th century in South Carolina. That's for sure.
And so, of an evening, as we're nodding off to sleep, Agnes and I'll be reading, and I'll stop and go, "Oh, honey, wait a minute, you got to hear this. Wait." And I've been reading passages of this to her, and she just sits there and looks at you. What the hell was wrong with those people?
I asked them what the hell was right with some of those people, you know.
True enough.
And I come directly from them, you know, direct bloodlines. I think that's the reason I'm kind of bizarre and strange, you know. I think those gene pools kind of got mixed up because we all married our cousins, you know. They went in. Indeed, we did. But in reference to your previous broadcast, referencing the insurance, Bob, that's a dreadful thing. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here. It is.
It is a dreadful thing.
By the time I was done with my research over the weekend, I had the kind of thundering headache that usually only comes with the consumption of a pint of the worst kind of bad liquor.
Oh boy, may I suggest that is no solution with bad booze with fusel oil. That's for certain.
Right. I mean, with a little lighter fluid in there for flavor.
Indeed. Indeed.
But,
indeed.
It's not to say that I was sampling. It's just that that's the best thing I can compare it to. Because after a while, the numbers begin to swim on the page. And when I got to that part where even though you're paying $1,300 a month for insurance, you're still on the hook for $15 a day, $1,500 a day for a hospital room. Holy shit. I mean, how much is a hospital room?
A lot. You know, this past year, if I may digress, please.
Yeah.
It's not one that I shall view with undiluted pleasure, that's for sure.
Well, you had a hell of a time of it since before the 2020 or 2016 election.
I was in Morgantown for 100 days. And that was quite an experience. And even before Morgantown, I had to go through some type of trial while in a hospital bed with oxygen attached to my nose about whether or not I should be put away or whatever. And it was done with Skype. And I won.
Put away?
Yeah, like sent to a nursing home or something like that. It was a bad case with DHHR. They're horrible people. And basically, I had an attorney, and I had to undergo a trial via Skype and had to present my own case. And my attorney couldn't do a whole lot because he told me it was going to be on you, Jim. and I was on the TV there. I just took these people to task for the way they tried to handle my situation. And I hoisted them on their old petard.
Good.
I won. Quite handily.
Well, they probably don't run across the likes of you every other day.
I trust they don't, because, you know, you have to do what you have to do. And I thought it was just totally an impossible situation when I was presented with it. But I realized it was, in fact, what it is, what it is. And I had to deal with it in every way, shape, and form. And my attorney told me, he said, "You did a good job." And I did. I tried. I can rise to the occasion when I need to, that's for sure. I've been taught for many years of trying to help people with the government. You do what you have to do. And I'm really proud of what I've tried to do. I really am. Because I never hurt anybody. I never dropped bombs on anybody. I tried to take care of soldiers and their families. That's what I tried to do, and I did it. But all that being aside, this doesn't touch your insurance situation. And this whole thing has got to be resolved in some way or another. Because there are more of us than there are of them. And history has proven exactly what happens to them. They can be, shall we say, replaced or given a new thought pattern, or, as the phrase of your previous caller was, a new core of conscience, perhaps?
Yes.
I think that's a very good term. Another one I think is deal with administratively. That's also one of my favorites. But I can certainly understand your situation as best one can. And it's an insurmountable odd almost. It really is. Because you've got all these people in these highly placed positions. And as I said in my email to you, it's going to be hard to make them let go of what they have found to be a rather profitable enterprise. People can be extremely greedy and selfish. And to what end, I really don't understand, because how bloody much can they take with them? How big a hearse can they
come with? And, you know, that's kind of developed as a theme this evening, Jim, the questions that never get asked.
You're damn right, sir. How big a effing send-off do they want, and how big a cash do they occupy? I don't understand it. I never have.
I mean, maybe it's just, I mean, I had a middle-class upbringing. And sure, who the hell doesn't sit around thinking, well, I tell you what, if I won the lottery, sure, but it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. That's just, really, so many people think it will, but it won't.
When I go and check my occasional ticket, and I find, you know, this is not a winner, I keep saying that the lottery commission, instead of having it say not a winner, you know, that's too many characters. When you just pass it under the barcode scanner, it should say loser.
Indeed, it should.
You know, just there to sort go. Of drive the point home. But I'll run it under the barcode scanner, and then I'll look up and say, "Well, here I stand. Another day as a temporarily embarrassed millionaire."
Well, there it is, and there you have it. I'll go you one further.
But what I was getting at, Jim, is that, you know, we all engage those little fantasies. But most of us don't want that kind of embarrassing wealth. You know, after you went nuts for about 2 weeks and you know, bought cars, bought a house, bought furniture, things. Ooh, buy. Well, you know, then you look up and you go, hey, wait a minute. That's why I'm here and they're there. You know, the Michael Bloombergs out there, they're not running around buying shit. They're trying to make their money make more money.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an alien addictive mindset for most of working class America.
Indeed. But they want to lure you with these promises of untold riches and wealth. And let me get you one further. Do not ever apply or lie to that publisher's fairy house. First of all, I told you to do that. And if you do that, you may as well have your email changed because you're going to be absolutely submerged with all these surveys. And they want to know everything about you. And you'll get a host of these telemarketer calls. And they will call. I had one caller at 5 o'clock in, 5 o'clock in the morning. Those people are out there. They're trying to make a living. I feel sorry for them. That's a really bad job.
But well, if they're calling you at 5 a.m., that's a non-legitimate telemarketer.
Well, I've already had to turn it over to the Federal Trade Commission. And another one they have people being called by Social Security who are telling them that your Social Security is being subject to some type of legal action. And that one you have to turn it over to the IG of Social Security. And imagine an elderly person who doesn't know any better being given that kind of call. That's terrifying, Bob. It really is. And they have a plethora of these people who sound like they are from God knows where. And I'm not goading on anybody with a speech and accent. But these people are just ridiculous. And they will call you back and swear at you.
Oh, yeah, those are the illegitimate ones. Those are the.
I mean, these people are just too much. And like I say, I'm not trying to say anything.
Oh, no, it's funny. We've got one of the packages that brings our internet in. We have a landline here. We do not use it. But I have a most basic phone, you know, no fancy, no wireless, none of that stuff. And so I checked it, you know, last night when the power went out, I picked up the phone and, hey, dial tone. So that's the only reason we have it. It rings all day. And it's never.
Oh, I'm sure.
Nobody's got the number. I don't think I even know the number. And it's nothing but telemarketers.
Yeah,
and guess who sells the number?
Frontier?
Your friendly neighborhood phone company, sure.
I'm divorcing them, Bob. I can't deal with some of their crap, and I'm going to Sun Lake. If I lose power, I lose my phone. But, you know, heck, anything to get away from Frontier. And they're the most ridiculously inefficient group of people I've ever seen in my life. But enough of that, really. But nonetheless, it never ceases to amaze me how some of these companies will gain such ascendancy over you. And these corporate entities are just absolutely inefficient, undeserved by anybody, but yet they still hold on. And how they do, I don't know.
Nor do I.
Well, if I may quote from our favorite movie, Chinatown, and you know what quote's coming.
Oh, yeah.
You want to say it?
What do you want? How much do you need? What do you have that you don't? What do you need that you don't already have?
Or, if you last long enough, be it old buildings and whores, you might gain some.
Politicians, old buildings, politicians, and whores all become respectable with age.
There you go. Andy, how many times have we said that over this network?
Oh, I know.
Over the past many years. But,
and in fact, I think I've got that clip. We probably ought to run it just for the hell of it.
Sounds good.
Let's see here.
Mr. Giddies.
Yep. Let's see, there's that, and there, and. But those are the two, you know, alongside Forget It, Jake, it's Chinatown. Those are the two great takeaway lines from that magnificent film made by a monster of a human being, Roman Polanski. But here we go, yeah.
Politicians, ugly buildings, and whores all get respectable if they last long enough.
And then this.
Why are you doing it? How much better can you eat? What can you buy that you can't already afford?
There it is.
Bravo, sir. Well played and well taken in by this caller. And I'm sure most of the people within the sound of our voices. and a great movie. And, you know, Roman Polanski, what in the world happened in that situation?
Well, he got, he got accused, and then he fled the country and has never come back to the United States since.
I just wonder what that man did. I've often...
Well, he, like Jeffrey Epstein, had a taste for little girls.
Oh, dear. Oh, Lord. Well, maybe his formative years in Auschwitz warped him. I don't know. I can't own that. Nor can I protect it or defend it. That's for sure.
Doubtless.
Anyway, just going on to this gentleman in Texas, Mr. Reed. I just wonder how that's going with him. He's going to schedule for execution on the 20th of this month.
And I wasn't just to let you know. Yeah, that's it's still scheduled. I was not trying to be snide or snarky.
No,
but the case is in the hands of the Supreme Court, because the one place you could apply public pressure is on the governor of the state of Texas.
Forget that.
And he is barely if human at all.
Oh, that asshole will be on the front row with popcorn.
Yeah, that, you took the words right out of my mouth. So to the extent that the case is dependent upon action by the Supreme Court of the United States.
Good luck.
No amount of petition signing will affect that. You see what I'm saying?
Well, that is indeed regrettable. That man is a human being.
And
the death penalty, if I may say something, I don't mean to interrupt you. I do not subscribe to the death penalty. I never have, because we all will pay that penalty in the end. All. And that's no penalty at all to be legislated by any branch of the government, in my opinion. It's not.
Well,
it's wrong.
I think there are places where it's okay. I mean, everybody who got the death penalty at the end of the war crimes trials at Nuremberg, it's hard. I don't know. Maybe, you know, Goering took the coward's way out.
Well, I don't blame him.
No, but you know, the rest of them who were hanged, and but I'm generally an opponent of the death penalty as well, and it is a function of the barbarity of our constitutional system. Remember, when they put together the cruel and unusual punishment clause, they didn't say cruel or. So if you could prove it's cruel, you'd get out of it, the punishment, or if you could prove it was unusual, you could get out of it. You have to prove that it's both cruel and unusual. And so that is what has allowed the death penalty to sort of hang on all this time. But more so than that, remember, and to his eternal shame, I think, remember, Fat Dead Tony Scalia said that you do not have a constitutional right not to be executed even if you're innocent. He said that, Jim. And he believed that all the way down to his toenails.
And maybe he's, who knows, maybe his fatty is worried by some unusual heater. That asshole.
Yeah, reverse pineapple.
You mentioned his name. I despise that son of a bitch.
And now, of course, Nitwit Nero gave his precious little boy a job in the government.
How nice for him. What else will the Nero Vespasian do? You know, I'm just going to say this. I felt this for a long time. That man is absolutely crazy, and he is so dangerous, and he must go by all possible means. He is harming this country even beyond what it can even suffer, as harm is concerned. He is a deadly threat to our nation in every way, shape, and form, and the world. I'm ashamed to hear him on TV. So he's representing us, because they think that we're just a bunch of idiots for having put him in office. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off on that. I should have.
No, that's okay.
But, you know, Bob, I remember when I first saw that idiot coming down the stairs in that escalator or whatever he's on. I said, that son of a bitch has got to be president. I told you that.
Yep.
And I remember in my New York days, I remember nobody ever could stand that man. I mean, no matter whatever he did, there was always something attached to it that was just negative. And Trump is, I don't think we've had a president who has been so mobbed up as Trump. And at least for the mob, I'll say this. They have some code of silence or some code of honor. I don't think Donald Trump has ever had one. He wouldn't know the Minion word honor. He's a total cad. That's it. But we agree there. And I don't want to get myself in trouble with anybody.
No, you're not going to get in trouble with anybody. But that, you know, I'm still not over the fact that he was such a damn coward he couldn't show up at the Tomb of the Unknown yesterday. That's what presidents do. They don't go and invade the New York and brag, you know, I'm the first president ever to come here for the New York Labor Day, New York Veterans Day Parade.
As a draft dodger. Yeah, really. He didn't show up at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier on Veterans Day?
No, he was in New York.
Oh, how convenient for him. I wonder if he was trying to get his residence to change to Florida.
Well, he's already done that.
Oh, God. I wish he'd change it to Dropout City and just leave the planet or elsewhere. It's a co-op. I don't know. I just get really all frantic down there when you mention his name because he's such an asshole.
Odious, Jim. He is odious.
Exactly. You could describe him on certain occasions. I could not agree with you more. But anyway, listen, I am enjoying our conversation. I know there are other people on the line who would like to talk to you and with you, but you have nothing but my good wishes for A, your smoking cessation, and B, your continued success of the program, and C, with Ferg, I hope he's doing okay.
Well, he's healing now after yesterday's oral surgery.
Oh, my goodness. I hope it wasn't too drastic.
It's ghastly enough.
Understood. Well, he certainly has our best wishes, Miss Patches and mine, and for all of you there. And I'm glad you received the card we sent.
Oh, it touched him deeply.
Great. And to your lovely spouse, Agnes, and to your entire family, I hope that things will be good for them and the fates will be kind to them. While we live in a rather unkind world now, and it's getting really strange, it's strange enough with the passage of each day. And I don't mean to sound like any type of Juridian.
No. That's exactly what I keep saying. No matter how weird yesterday was, today will be weirder. And no matter how weird today was, tomorrow will be weirder still. And weird is going to be, I mean, I don't think we're going to have any earth-shattering revelations when these hearings open tomorrow. But
nor I either.
But the fact that it's going to be said out in public in front of God and everybody is bound to have an impact. And Trump is diminishing day by day. His mental health is failing. His physical health, I think, is failing. Look, there are an abundance of reasons for why, adult sanitary products are needed. We've got a president who's walking around in adult diapers.
Really?
Yeah, there's lots of video out there you can see. I mean, it's obvious. And,
oh my.
And the same guy who told us he was a speed freak who worked on The Apprentice for several years.
Yes.
Who is violating the hell out of his non-disclosure agreement, and they don't dare sue him. He's the guy who told us that, you know, he snorted Adderall. Well, he said, you know, he's been in Depends since the latter years of the first decade of the century because of his because he's ruined himself with his speed addiction.
Oh my, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, if you look around, just, you know, do a search, Donald Trump Depends, and you'll see. Agnes, being a nurse, saw one of the videos and said, "Is he?" And I said, "Yes." She said, oh, my God.
I'll take your word for it, Bob.
He wears lifts in his shoes so that now when you see him in profile, he's leaning forward.
Really?
Yeah, like he's a bit. Somebody said, I think it was our buddy Texas T, said like the front half of a centaur with the other half missing.
What a description. That takes a while to absorb, you know?
Well, it does. It does.
Indeed, it does. And I'm not laughing out of any sense of forlorn levity, but this is just dreadful. That's the only word I can use to equate it, Bob. It really is. But listen, my friend, thank you for your information. It's always good. I always enjoy your program, most always, except when it does get a little depressing, but you are trying to be accurate, and I understand that.
Right, and along the way, you know, we laugh and we find things to carry on about. And
You've got some good people there.
That lets a little bit of the steam out through the valve.
Exactly, and as always, my compliments to Lady B. She always brings a lot of insight and a lot of good information. So well spoken, and so brilliantly written. My compliments to her and other people who contribute to your program. And so I'm going to get off here at the three-quarters of an hour and let you get into your program with other people, okay?
All right. You take care, Jim. Have a good evening and a warm one.
Thank you.
Because it's going to be dangerously cold tonight.
I'm here under my comforter, and I've got patches on top of me. And what the comforter doesn't give, she gladly emanates, you know? I love that cat. Like I said before, I never met a cat I didn't like or love.
Indeed. Jim, take care. Have a good evening.
Out here, sir.
Bye. That's our buddy Jim calling from not too far away. Thanks going out to Ralphs and Lady B and Samson. Tracy's challenge has been met, and then some. And so that means that tomorrow we will be down to, let's see. $880, $880. Thank you. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. So with a little bit of time remaining in the program, well, the fact of the matter is, you know, as I monitored the news all day, most everything that I saw was all about what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why I felt like we could afford to have our little healthcare discussion this evening, because it's all anticipatory. But things are getting hotter, and they don't appear to be getting less so. Everybody has, consider the fact that Jim Shorts Jordan was asked in an interview about the new allegations and further convincing allegations that he looked the other way. That's called pulling a Paterno. He looked the other way when he was told that the doctor at Ohio State University was groping, sexually abusing, and raping young men, student athletes. And not even student athletes at Ohio State, kids that were coming in for, like, wrestling camp. The doctor's name was Richard Strauss. It was determined that he had sexually abused no less than 177 athletes while he was at OSU between 1979 and 1996, 17 years. Well, interviewed by the Lima News of Lima, Ohio, the referee who has come forward and dropped the dime on him said it was ridiculous. And said, anybody who's followed my political career knows I don't ignore wrongdoing. Which makes me surprised that
well, a lightning bolt didn't just come down out of the sky and reduce him to grease because he's been ignoring wrong. Yeah, he doesn't ignore wrongdoing that he thinks was done by, you know, Hillary Clinton. On the other hand, when it comes to ignoring the wrongdoing of an open and obvious felon president, well, you know, I can't hear you. This is hilarious. I've stood up against the IRS, stood up against the FBI, stood up against Adam Schiff, fought the Justice Department when the whole Trump-Russia thing, what they had done, the idea I'm not going to defend our athletes when I think they're being harmed is ridiculous. Adam Schiff. Well, there's a difference between saying it's ridiculous and saying it's not true. Let's just call him, let's just call him Jim Shorts Jordan. What do you say? And like I said earlier, I had a kind of a flash today. Something dawned on me. Because I'm spending an inordinate amount of time thinking about how we talk about impeachment. And I realized something today. And that is this. Well, I've been talking about the bribery issue. Because we have to talk about it that way. But what occurred to me is that under no set of circumstances was this a perfect phone call. Because and this is the way this is the way it distilled for me. If you think about the core allegation, what we found out is that Donald Trump was asking the president of another country to lie for him. It's not that he was asking the, and this is another one of those multimillionaire for-profit media fails. He wasn't asking them to dig up dirt that existed on Hunter Biden. He was asking the president of Ukraine to make shit up. Because there's nobody out there who thinks that there were any crimes committed who is, you know, sane and not a hopeless toe-sucking maggot. So we need to be clear about that. The president of the United States tried to bribe the head of another nation to lie for him. Now, I don't know how that's going to play with the evangelicals, because that is the classic definition of bearing false witness. But where there was no evidence of any criminal conduct, he wanted the Ukraine to say there was, and was within 2 days of getting President Zelensky to do exactly that. Had the whistleblower statement not come out when it did, then CNN was ready, had it scheduled, a sit-down interview in which Volodymyr Zelensky was going to tell lies for the benefit of Donald Trump. This is the very heart of the kind of public corruption that impeachment was designed to deal with. And it's important that we talk about it in those terms, because telling lies on behalf of the Trump campaign is a hell of a lot different from digging up dirt on a political opponent. Digging up dirt assumes that the dirt is real. This isn't. There's no there there, and no one has ever said there was any there there. It is intensely important that we understand that the nature of Trump's corruption is that he was trying to get a foreign country to fabricate falsehoods, to tell lies about a political opponent. Put another way, he sought foreign falsehoods about a fellow American citizen. I don't think that qualifies as treason under the constitutional definition, but Jesus H. Christ, if it doesn't move in right next door to it. So let's just, you know, we'll develop that maybe some more in further conversation. Right now, let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Hanging in.
I'm calling 72 degrees.
Rub it in.
just a little bit. But there's, I don't know, there's so many, and I think you're going to go long tonight because we're pre-impeachment, baby. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
Pre-fucking impeachment. And I was just thinking about, I was like, you know what would be ironic as shit? You know, we're about to do this impeachment, maybe progressive explosion all across America. The cool thing, because I was thinking, what's cool now? Young people have never been more involved in politics. I was watching AOC do a speech and I just saw like 15 seconds of it because I've just been all impeachment all the time. You know, if a bug farts impeachment, I'm in the thread. And she was just giving a speech at Bernie's rally, and I was like, oh my God, 2028 can't come quick enough. AOC, I'd love to call you President Alex or President Cortez or whatever we decide. She's just so good. She really, really is.
And the measure of how good she is to the degree to which she makes maggots shit themselves.
No, they can see it too. They don't have anybody on their bench like her. They really don't. I mean, if you think about their bench, who's their best guy? Jim Jordan? Really? Because he can say stupid stuff with a dumbass smile. And he has such a punchable face, man.
Wait a minute.
He really does. And I'm sorry, if you're a wrestler out there and you're totally straight and above board and everything, I've always found wrestlers suspect. I guess everyone has their own prejudices. I was like, why does a guy want to lay on a mat with another guy?
Well, you got to remember, it was pretty much invented by the ancient Greeks.
Anyways, I got a couple of things on deck. I'm calling from a different perspective. I really learned to smoke in the old school 80s style advertising and oil and gas phone rooms, where when the phone picked up, you lit a cigarette. If you made a deal, you lit a cigarette. If you had to answer an objection, you lit a cigarette. Are you with me so far, Bob?
Right there.
And later came the screens and the computers, and it was always a companion. I was the type of guy, when I actually pushed away from the cart, I was anywhere. I'd buy two packs and bum another half pack. That's where I was at. And I wanted to quit smoking so much that when they came out with the first bullshit vape units, I bought those, thought about, hey, all right, they need to do this, and I'd buy the next one, and I'd buy the one after that, and it'd get better and better and better. And I was up to the $100 Sigelis, which is where you see the cloud tarts start, you know, big clouds.
Right.
The other thing. And I went the whole gamut, and it made me quit because it changed the taste of cigarettes. If you can vape for 3 days, you're done because you pick up a cigarette and you go, oh, my God, this is nasty. Now, what are the problem with all those units? Most of the juice tastes weird. Most of it doesn't feel like smoking. Most of it, you can sit there and saturate yourself with nicotine, and you don't feel like you've smoked a cigarette. Until, and I hate to drag corporate nasty America into this because I hate them. I'm a progressive, benevolent anarchist. I believe this is all bullshit, and it needs to be something new, all green and plant-based, but whatever. I'll keep it going while we got it going, but I got no confidence in any of it. And with that said, Juul's main competitor, Blu,
yep.
I endorse that. I endorse the fuck out of that because it is 90% there. And this is after working in a vape shop and just being a part, you know, being a vape tart. In fact, I was working at a vape shop holding a sign, 2016, November, what was that, 4th? Whatever fucking day that was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I suddenly don't feel safe on the street. Trump just won. What, are they going to be killing black people tonight? Who knows? Time to go. Haven't been back up there since because they were getting wound up then. I remember coming home one night and watching a Russian rave on the overpass. I knew they were Russian because of the music. I'm in the music. I was like, that's Russian techno. And they started a rave and they threw a banner over the overpass and they jumped up and down and there's like Trump 2016 and they got back in the truck and left. I'm like, I've never seen shit like that before. So when they all go, it was all Russian. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what that was. Fake excitement. All right, back to the vape. I bought you, sir, a Blu vape. Now they're currently in a slap fight war with Juul, so it's a $20 unit. And I bought it for you. I haven't gotten the cartridge on top because I hope they have them by you. And if they don't, I'll send you one. A cartridge on top, two of them, about $8. And it lasts me about 4 or 5 days. And they're refillable. I'm going to go buy some flavored vape juice because that shit's going the way of the dinosaur cause Trump, but whatever.
Right.
Now, for absolutely.
Yeah, because they caught little boar on vaping.
Whatever the reason. You know what? Trump's always has a tell. And I read a couple of threads that said, no, it's the money. They're not getting the cigarette bond taxes.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting you would raise that, Jerry, because I saw a headline here in one of our West Virginia papers that said tobacco settlement money is down by $1.06 billion, according to the tobacco companies, because of the number of people switching from cigarettes to vape.
That's what this is really about. Because Trump, the first thing he was talking about, not that, you know, there's hydrogen cyanide in a vape. What the fuck? All the money they're making.
Well, and then there's of course there's the fucking fentanyl in the bootleg THC vapes.
There's so much wrong. I that was a great part about working at a vape store. You have out of 10 people, you have 8 nicotine people. Actually, no, about 7 nicotine people, 2 THC people, and 1 whatever person. You know, whatever you got that'll fit in it, sell me that shit. I'm out, you know. And, you know, you get to hear about their adventures or whatever. And I never liked THC cartridges. I mean, you know, my adult firstborn daughter, that's one of the things she's active in her own life. And she goes, nah, Pops, I'm leaving the cartridges alone because, I don't know. I go, I told you about those cartridges. How amazing it is to have this kind of relationship with your kid, I guess, where they talk to you about shit like that. But
I've never trusted them. It doesn't taste like any weed I've ever come across. And I don't know. Could be anything. You know, it took a year, but she came around to that.
Well, and what happened here is it got to where you can't buy a bag of green weed. It's all it's all cartridges. So, you know, we walked away.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but back to the thing and your health care. Because, you know, the funny thing is, I have Medicare. I used to have Medicaid and it turned to Medicaid or care about a year ago. And it's the greatest fucking thing. It's also the thing where, you know, sometimes I'm like, hey, you know, why don't you chase down one of those ideas and go back to work? And I go, fuck, man. The health care. I pay fucking $10 for my pills. It costs me $20 to see my doctor, and that's it. I'm going to get some dental this year. And you're right. Why shouldn't everybody? You know, we're in the 21st fucking century. Why is this such a shit show? You don't even need the people going over the bills anymore. AI can do that. Is it just a cash grab? Really? All right. How about y'all all have $1 million? You'll be okay, really. Take $1 million. Get out of here. Come up with something efficient.
$1 million, Jerry, that's chump change. That's not even a piece of the Christmas bonus.
And that's why it's all fucked up.
Yeah, profit.
But getting better. But I don't know. I think he's going to get impeached and removed and burn the whole thing down, Bob. How about that?
Yeah, I'm not as sanguine as you on the removed part.
But
that's part of why I was talking about what I was talking about earlier. He was asking a foreign country to lie about an American citizen. Now,
you know, what's more dramatic is what I read tonight. He asked submarines to go around the Black Sea because he didn't want to piss off Russia.
If
we were at simpler times, dudes from the army would be, all right, bud, you're out, man. We don't know what the fuck's going on, but it ain't going on here.
Yeah, he pulled American naval vessels, or an American naval vessel engaged in a freedom of navigation exercise. Everybody does that once in a while, especially in that neck of the woods, into the Black Sea, through the Bosphorus. And he was afraid he would piss off his owner.
I made a comment online. Nobody's responded to it, but it's very accurate here. Somebody goes, wait a second. We're with North Korea now? I go, yeah, we're in the Legion of Doom now. You didn't hear? We changed sides. Saudi Arabia, NK, who's the other one? Turkey and Russia.
Yeah.
Things are great.
Yeah,
things are great.
It's no longer an axis of evil. It's a four-wheeler of evil.
Yeah, the ATV of evil.
Jesus.
So, here's my point. Impeachment? You're going to quit cigarettes? Really? Come on, man.
Well, that's why I said the other night, man, I picked a bad day to quit sniffing glue.
Nah. That just doesn't even make sense. Everybody in the community, ask yourselves that. Seriously, doesn't make sense. Going to be up all night reading this, reading that. The England's going, hey, yeah, we have a little Russian thing going on too, but we didn't want to. This whole thing is blowing out.
Yeah, and by the way, Boris Johnson's as big a fuck up as Trump. I don't know if you saw this the other day, but he actually showed up to lay the wreath at the cenotaph in England. You know, the tomb of their tomb of the unknown. And Jerry, it had writing on it. And it had writing that was facing him that he could see. And he still fucked up and laid the wreath on the cenotaph upside down. And a whole bunch of veterans in the UK got right pissed about that.
Just my city being crazy. That's a guy on a leader, but anyways, go ahead.
No, that's just it. I mean, that's the Trumpian. Thing, the writing is in front of you, and you still put it upside down.
I don't know.
All I can figure is, you know, that's a little, you know, that's a little too much Mac Allen in the coffee at breakfast.
I don't know. You know, the other thing I was thinking about is I've been obsessed with Stirling cycle engines. And basically, it's a new style of steam engine. Not new, shit, they're 80 years old. And it can be solar powered. And you don't even have to add that much steam because it's a sealed system. And I've typed a thing where you're like, how come we haven't? This is ridiculous. We haven't tried anything but 100-year-old technology. Yeah, they had a guy put a parabolic on it, and he was, I didn't see the energy requirements, but a guy had a steam generator, and 65 pounds of wood put out a kilowatt. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And you're off the grid.
Wow.
That stuff we have now.
Yeah.
I was in an office once selling currency options, and I had the most amazing experience of working with a classic old school John Bolton without a mustache Republican.
The horror.
Exactly
the
what
horror.
This guy was. But he understood commodity markets. And he was the type of guy, you know, who would talk half an hour more than you needed him to, but you'd understand, you know, he would, you know, he was an alcoholic. He'd drink his beer in before he'd make his calls, but he could talk the shit. And this was when Obama was a phenomenon starting, and, you know, the racism was coming out, and this was before the market crashed. And I was like, well, shit, man, you got all these pills here. You're worrying about how. What's wrong with health care for everyone? This is way, that's 10 years ago. He goes, no, we can't have that. And he's speaking like an old school Republican, you know, the quiet part out loud finally. He's going, then you could just work at any job you want. You wouldn't stay anywhere. That's kind of stuck with me.
Yeah, scares the shit out of them. A workforce that, look, that's going back to the dead hand of Milton Friedman. And the Chicago School of Economics. The core tenet of all of Milton Friedman's economic theories is that the working class must be kept in a perpetual state of fear. Because if they don't do that, if they aren't kept perpetually terrified, they're liable to get uppity and start thinking they're as good as our betters. He was an evil fuck, Milton Friedman.
Well, love of money is the root of all evil.
And so what better, you know, healthcare is a huge element of that.
It's your electronic lease on the old plantation.
Yeah, it absolutely
and
is.
With wearables, I mean, somebody just has to really write an app. And then they'll know what you're doing all the time from a health perspective. So none of this is good. I was reading today about, you know, Google has just kind of sideloaded everybody's health information. Of course, you know, that's the kind of thing they do. So think secret database and something you can sell to insurers to, you know, for risk. You put that with the ruling that your DNA is,
I was about to mention that very thing. That you can, that somebody can just subpoena an entire DNA database.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that's probably got some monetary value, don't you?
The whole thing, though, is it's the next thing they sell and slice and whatever, because they, you know, there's a $50 trillion business, especially if you get cancer, which everybody seems to be getting.
So I totally get not wanting to let that go. Totally. Anyways, have you seen the blue pods up by you?
Yeah, I have.
All right. I strongly suggest. What kind of cigarette do you smoke? Got to see this one.
Camel Wide Blue.
Camel Wide Blue. They have the perfect cigarette for you. They're 2.4, I think it's sweet tobacco. Almost like a Camel Wide Blue. That was the other thing that was most people didn't understand about smoking cessation and harm reduction. You kind of had to get what the other person was kind of using anyway. Then your subconscious mind doesn't.
Well, I know these things have 0.6 of a milligram of nicotine per.
The cool thing about these blue is they have 40 milligrams of nicotine per burst. That's why everybody's addicted to them but hasn't smoked yet. It's like the first cigarette of the pack every day.
Wow. That'd probably take the top of my skull off.
No, not really. You take a smaller thing. It hits instantly, like the unlike the old school vape, which took about 3 minutes for the nicotine to hit because they've changed the formula.
The problem for me in vaping all along, Jerry, because I've tried it repeatedly, and I'm an old school smoker, but I hit a nicotine vape and I barf up a lung. I mean, I cough like I've just hit some. Some really expansive kick-ass, green.
That's why I'm repping the blue hard, because it doesn't have that, has just enough bite to be realistic, but not enough that you cough and choke.
Yeah, that was why I wasn't able to do it.
And yeah, because that was usually wattage or actually propylene glycol. Too much of that will make you cough.
And propylene glycol is not good for you.
No, it's not the best. Burning tobacco through plastic filters is the worst, though. So
Yeah.
Heated plastic. Once you start wrapping your mind around that, cigarette's going to taste funny. Here's the thing, though. I was thinking, how are you going to replace a cigarette, that morning cup of coffee, and system power up when you're turning everything on and hope everything works? Doing that without a cigarette kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, there's that handful with the coffee
or troubleshooting.
Even with me with the decaf, it's still a thing.
Yeah, alcohol is, even if there's no caffeine there.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know how Tracy's challenge is doing. I got $5 cash in my pocket. I'm going to box this all up, sending you a package up there to West Virginia. $5 in blue. All the rest of y'all chime in, because we can't have Bob dying, and he needs harm reduction. Not a good time to quit smoking. We're impeaching the asshole, so this is going to get rough, yeah. No matter what side of the aisle.
You're I on. Think it's going to get real fucking bizarre. Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Well, Jerry, thank you very kindly. It's good to hear from you, man. And
one more thing.
Enjoy the warmth. Thing. Yes.
Did you hear Joe Biden's response to Trump wanting to do the May Day parade?
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. I give credit where credit's
more
due.
More of that, Joe. More of that.
Yeah. No, you're kidding, right? No. Are you pulling my leg? Is this a joke?
That was the accurate response. That you're like that. More of that. I can see you. I was like, he could win with that if he can, whatever.
Well, that reminded me of the Joe Biden who pulled Eddie Munster Ryan's underwear up over his head in the debate back in 2012.
Yes. If we're going to Joe, if Joe would make Elizabeth Warren vice president, I'm done. Sign me up.
Oh, I think he. I don't see that down the road, because I think he hates her.
He hates her because she can beat him.
I mean, I really thought that was kind of a snide and shitty remark that he made when unbidden he said, "Listen, anybody's, and it doesn't even make logical sense, Jerry. Anybody who's got a plan for everything has a plan for nothing."
What?
He does have a Trans Am. That is a very special customer. Well, that's on point and on demographic.
Especially
really
especially if you got the T-tops.
Yeah, I know. And I love him for that, but, you know, it tells you really all you need to know. By the same token, I don't know. Impeachment tomorrow. Seriously, can you believe it?
Well, I mean, he won't be impeached as of tomorrow, but yeah, the ball starts rolling. And tomorrow is going to be all about the bribery.
Yeah.
And the Republicans' arguments, I was reading some of that, it's already done. Their arguments.
You know what? I just remembered I was cooking something. Probably started a fire.
Uh-oh.
We'll see how we did. Oh, no smoke.
That's a win.
Probably did well, though. We were not good. It was an impossible burger at one point.
I'm going to try one of those eventually. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I've heard they're pretty good.
You know what? There's burnt remnants here that was supposed to be some sauce, and there's some sadness right now, Bob.
I understand. My apologies. My apologies. Jerry, have a good evening, my friend. Take care.
That's my food porn contribution, which I never thought I'd be able to. Dead vegan burger pairings. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a good night.
Be well.
Later. Bye. Everybody, Scary Jerry from Florida. This is working out perfectly. The tank that I put on at the beginning of the program is just now petering out. And we're a little long on the program, but hey, bonus radio. So when we take a run at it tomorrow, we'll be at 880. Or counting Scary Jerry, 875. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Lady B and Ralphs and Samson and Scary Jerry for jumping in on Tracy's challenge. Thanks to Tracy for making it. Thanks to all of you who participate in the program in whatever fashion you so choose. Thank you for sharing your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.